Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
May 5th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Going to be a focus show talking about specifically wearables, nanotechnology a little bit, but we're going to focus on the vaccine discussion yet again because it's very important. Very, very important with so much information that is being outright ignored by all the people that scream about trusting the science. But we're going to talk about quite a bit today, though, and I hope to get through this in a reasonable amount of time. So first of all, I want to make a quick point for those of you currently watching on Super U. It's very important that I reiterate this that I forgot to mention last time. And this is something just for the early adopters that I recommend anybody else get over there and sign up. But it's the membership on Super U. Let's put it this way. The platform itself is free for everybody all the time forever. I mean, and that's just something because right now when people sign up, and I'm just going to grab it real quick so I can show you guys this before we get into the show today. As you can see it live right there for me, the point is that when you sign up, it asks you for, you get a free 6-month membership essentially, but that does not mean when that 6 months is up that you will suddenly have to be paying to be able to operate on the platform. The only barrier is a $199 payment that will be initiated once the payment gateway is up and running that will, you have to pay if you want to comment, and that's it. Being able to share the video, watch the video, engage with the platform is free for everybody all the time, forever. That won't change. I just want to make sure that's clear because that's something that is a huge point for me. Even places, either platforms that I like Rockfin, for instance, has a barrier for anybody that wants to watch the platform. They have to sign up no matter what. And they do this to increase the revenue for its users. I totally understand that. But it's important for us that anybody anywhere can see it because it's all about the sharing of the content and the reach of the content and protecting that content. That's what it's all really about. But we have a big show today, a lot to talk about. I want to start with some interesting points first, as we've been doing lately, before we get into the nanotechnology wearable discussion to start off, and then we'll get into the vaccine points today. But first off, of course, I want to make a couple of interesting points here. The White House says it's up to Congress to decide on sending more stimulus checks because, well, they're not free. Oh, what a weird shift in their narrative or the way that they talk about this, right? Of course, we're going to be for the government's here for you. We're going to save you. We're going to protect you. We're going to make sure you're safe because our actions ruined your entire lives. So we're going to make sure we're here for you up until it's slowly, you know, we get to a couple moments in and it's like, whoa, those aren't for free, right? We've always known that because you're paying for that. Even the ones that they pretended to give to you and then gave to defense industry and big companies were all still coming out of your tax dollars. So yet again, now when they're saying, well, now that we still need money because we weren't dealt with during all of the stimulus plans, now they're going, whoa, pump the brakes. We more stimulus checks? That $1,000 didn't cut it for a year? Geez, guys, we hold on. That's not free. It's just insulting how they treat, how they act when it just, the whole point of all of this about the moratoriums on rent and foreclosures, which didn't ultimately stand, we're all about making sure we were protected because they put you in this position. I don't care whether you think it was justified or not. You didn't choose to have your business go under. You didn't choose to lose your apartment or your house. So it's ridiculous that they even quibble about giving you more money, but this is who they are. Whether it's Trump's administration or Biden's administration, it's the same kind of concept here, guys. And of course, this is ridiculous as well from Treasury Secretary Yellen, just in, quote, we may need rate hikes to stop the economy from overheating. Great. So it's despite all the stuff that we did, all the money that you paid for, and all this is as a point, Biden fooled us and something people down here, oh, that sounds good and normal. We are screwed based off what they have done to our economy. And again, this isn't Biden versus Trump. This is your government that's been continually doing this. And now they're going to just hurt you more, right? To stop their problem from increasingly getting worse. Now, here's another point bringing more into COVID that I was really glad this individual sent to me because we've been talking about this discussion. We're going to get into more in the show today about the emergency use authorization versus the approval. And I've been pointing out continuously how insulting it is to our intelligence, as usual, this entire discussion, that they blend the terms. Knowing full well that there's not a blending. It's either emergency authorized right? It's either EUA, an emergency use authorization, other or stated otherwise as an emergency authorization, you know, for or use, or how do I say it anyway? Emergency use of authorization, EUA. But it's very clearly about an emergency authorization, right? That's it. Then you have an approval. Very clearly. Those two things are nowhere near connected. You don't get an approval as emergency authorization. You don't get an emergency approval. There's none of these crossovers, but they're doing this. All of the mainstream media are pretending and saying it's approved under emergency authorization. No, it's not. That's not true. And they know that. But here's the point. As he points out, your suspicion that there's a media conspiracy to obfuscate authorized for emergency use. Authorized for emergency use. Otherwise you could say emergency use authorization, right? That's the only real variation there. I just couldn't say it properly a moment ago. And it says, and versus approved is accurate. It says, check out the COVID collaborative by the Ad Council. They have messaging tips like this. Do say, don't say. What do you know? Well, interestingly enough, they want you to say authorized by the FDA based on clinical testing. Which is not, that's not inaccurate. Now, what I've been saying about everybody else is they're using approved, but nonetheless, recognize the leaning, the way that they want, they very clearly under don't say is the truth. Well, clearly don't say approved by the FDA, despite that's what they're all saying anyway, too, but emergency use authorization. So the literal, actual, truthful term that is emergency use authorization is not supposed to be stated. Why is that? Maybe because it's like the 9/11 Iraq kind of thing where they don't really want to state, they want you to assume based on the way they're gently nudging you or aggressively pushing you. That's what they want. Thank you so much for sharing this. And just so you know, I always do my due diligence. And here is the actual document. Here is the actual website. And this is definitely something that they're doing. And you can see it for yourself. Do's and don'ts. And here, there's a couple more interesting ones in here. First of all, so you see this. This is specifically about Black audiences. So I would say that's a little patronizing, don't you think? Here's what we're secretly saying, what we should and should not say around Black people regarding vaccines. Okay, yeah, that's pretty ridiculous. But let's see what it says. Don't say, rely on, rely on just photos and illustrations that don't represent the diverse population that is part of your community organization, right? So what they're telling these people to do is use visual aids to represent, as they say, people like us. Right. So there's a planned organization from people driving this to manipulate people in Black communities to think that they're on your side. Right. Do we realize in every possible way this is patronizing, undermining, and whether it doesn't matter if this is Black communities, Asian communities, what they're doing is trying to game behind the scenes how they're going to manipulate you emotionally to get what they want. It also says solely produce English materials if your neighborhood or membership includes a mix of people whose roots are African or Caribbean and may have limited English proficiency. So Black people have regular deficiencies in English is what they're actually saying. Well, of course, they're saying African, but this is for Black communities, right? So this in itself is a racist, undermining, patronizing concept. But it goes on to say, frame asking questions as a negative. Do you read what that says? Frame asking questions. Don't tell them because that's the truth, but frame it this way because we don't like them asking questions. This is incredible. Many people have valid concerns about COVID-19 vaccines and simply want the answers. Ad Council research showed that Black women, who are often lead decision makers in households, have a number of questions. Well, guess what? Just say the science is solid. Don't dare give them any information. Just say, no, it's solid. We know. Trust me. This is their talking points. And over here, this is what they don't want them to say. Address frequently asked questions. Oh, so don't talk about things they want to know. For example, about pre-existing conditions. So don't tell them that if they have pre-existing conditions, they're at more risk with this fact. This is actually plainly stating, do not inform them do not get their informed consent. Do not tell them the full picture. Lie to them about what they're going to do. Tell them the science is solid. Don't ask about questions. Actually frame it as questions being a bad thing. This is just so insulting and so obvious. Don't indicate that Black people were not included in clinical trials. Oh, you mean lie to them because they weren't? Yeah, because you can look at the numbers and it's like 3% or something ridiculous because they have a reason to be a little concerned about government trials, you know, like Tuskegee and all, but no big deal because the CDC is editing that page as we speak, as they have been since the beginning of COVID. No coincidence there, but indicate that they were not included. So they're clearly trying to manipulate the information. They don't want you telling them the truth. Simply say, Black Americans have higher rates of hesitancy without explaining why or imply that vaccination uptake results entirely on their shoulders. This is crazy. Indicate that Black people were not included in trust. So don't tell them that they weren't. Don't say COVID. That's pretty stupid. This is about say it. And I guess we'll just presume for the sake of this person who wrote it that when it's capitalized, you say it differently. Very intelligent people. The COVID-19 vaccine, don't say or refer to a singular vaccine since multiple vaccines have been authorized. This, and you'll get, I'm just going through this because it's so interesting to me, but the vaccines don't say they don't have any side effects. Well, at least there's some modicum of truth in there, but they won't get into what it means or what they are because they just told you don't ask questions and don't even let them know that there's answers. Anyway, as you see, when you go down here, you will see the continuation of these things. And it's actually pretty incredible. This one's just about the Black communities, but there's a lot of these things. And it's absolutely staggering to me. Here's another interesting one. As everyone I don't like as a knot points out, FEMA's Emergency Management Institute puts out its schedule for tabletop exercises. You know, simulations like Event 201 and Crimson Contagion and all the other ones they did before 9/11 and everything else they've continually done that just weirdly go exactly the way that they planned out. Also listing for priorities for the coming 2 years of training cycle. Now it says, pretty interestingly, as he notes, that public health and healthcare emergencies is not 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. It's actually the number 6. On their list of important things to deal with. And of course, as always, I made sure and found this despite not sharing a link. Everyone I don't like is an op. If you're watching, always post a link. That does nobody any good because no one knows if it's real or not, especially today. It is. And I'm glad he posted it, but always share a link. Here is the document. Emergency Management Institute, FEMA, of course, National Emergency Training Center. And this is what it says. This is for, and you can find this on their website. It's their tabletop exercises for 2021, which if you really ask yourself why they do these, because you can't show any discernible benefit from any of these things that they've done other than preparing themselves for something that ultimately happened in a way that didn't benefit the people. And what I mean by that is such as Event 201, right? I mean, here, I want to let you see my face while I say this so you understand it's important. Event 201 planned out all sorts of things, you know, or gamed it just in case, right? But one of the core things that they ultimately decided at the end, a couple of them, was that we weren't prepared. We didn't have enough PPE. We didn't have enough. They went off on a whole number list of things that we did not have ready and that we needed to expedite. Guess what didn't happen? Any of that stuff. We didn't get more PPE. We didn't prepare for this. We actually took actions that created a worse situation. And you could argue that was bumbling presidents, or you could argue there was an agenda here. In any case, if we're doing these tabletop exercises and we find things that we're supposed to do and we don't do them, what does that ultimately show you? They sure planned this out. It's almost like they said, oh, we don't have enough PPE. And so that's why this is going to happen, or that's why we're going to go here. And that's why it's going to get worse. And then they said, sure enough, we don't have enough PPE. And sure enough, it looks like it's going to get worse. It's like, okay. So was it them just telling us what was going to happen? Or is it that they were so incompetent and so just a bunch of bumbling morons that they didn't know, they didn't take their own advice? Come on, guys. We must, as always, they would always rather be seen as incompetent than criminal. Always. Always, always, always. So when we're coming back to something like this, remember that these things tend to be a little bit more important than just we're making sure you're safe, seeing as how they don't usually take their own advice. But here to the point is what they're telling you are their strategic priorities. So when you understand this is a priorities list. Now, you could argue that maybe they weren't listed as their priority, right? As their descending or ascending priority, but that seems a little ridiculous seeing as how it's a list of priorities, right? So you would argue that if we're actually living through a pandemic of the century, that maybe public health emergencies would be more than number 5. Just maybe. Oh, excuse me. This says 2020. In any case, I have it. I had it up. I grabbed the wrong one. Dang it. I did this earlier. I'm sorry. So I grabbed the wrong spot. In any case, it's the same concept. That we're basically telling you this is the one for 2020, but there's multiple documents. But the case is, and I'll make sure to include both, that they're telling you that it's not very high on their list of things to do. Operational coordination, communications, of course, cybersecurity, because we know that that's what it's all about. National security emergencies, public health emergencies. And that's actually why it's on 5 and not 6 this time, is that it is not as important. Why would that be? And how does that even make sense with everything they're screaming about today? I think you know the answer to that. One more little point. Another thing randomly squeaking out from Joe Rogan. Now, I wonder why in the world he even continues to speak his mind if he's just going to walk it back when Spotify yells at him. Seems pretty stupid to me. But in any case, as always, it doesn't matter who said it if it's true, right? That's the point. And here's what he has to say. And I find this interesting because this is very relevant. And it has to do with how they're controlling what we see even behind the scenes.
You know, I tried to send a friend of mine a video the other day on Twitter through a direct message, and it was blocked.
Really?
I couldn't send a direct message. I was asking him if this was accurate, and it was a doctor who was talking about ivermectin. And ivermectin, which is it's a treatment for COVID. And this doctor... but that you don't hear about it because you can't fund vaccines when there's an effective treatment. And this is, I don't know if this guy's right or wrong.
Now, there's two things here. One, I just find it hilarious how far behind Joe Rogan is, right? I know exactly what they're talking about. This has been a statement for a long time that 99% effective, that was put out a while back. And it's just funny how these people who are not trying to understand what's going on and just simply going along to get along and watching the mainstream media and occasionally getting thrown a link like that, maybe look at it, they don't really know what's going on. I mean, it's so incredible for someone like this to be in this seat where they're constantly asking all these things. And it's just like, really, man, like there's so much out there. So much science and people that are willing to tell you the reality instead of this Hoyts guy you bring on to just rattle off the mainstream propaganda. You know, it's like clearly there's an agenda there. But what's interesting, one, is that just how far behind they are. But the reality that what he's saying there is true. If there was viable treatments, you could not declare an emergency authorization. That's listed in the emergency authorization. If it says that if there's nothing else that's viable, that's one of the main reasons you emergency authorize something that is untested. Or in this case, you know, whatever the circumstance would be, right? It can be untested. It can be that we're not sure about its safety, blah, 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 blah. There's all these different things. And we can say, well, it's worth it because the risk, you know, the benefits outweigh the risk. That's why they keep saying that, because that's what keeps their emergency authorization going, even though it's not true. But even more interesting is that who cares whether or not ivermectin is what they think it is or what it's supposed to be in the context of censorship, right? My point, and I simply say I don't care anyway. My point is you should have the right to use whatever you want. I'm not going to sit here and quibble with people about which big pharma drug works better because I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, right? This is the stupid nature of this, is that we argue about things that all of them are problematic in my mind. I argue that there's plenty of more natural things that work probably a hell of a lot better. But in any sense, you should have the right to choose whether you want hydroxychloroquine or remdesivir or ivermectin. And I made this joke last time. I hate that I even know all those names, because they're all a bunch of garbage they put in your body that are produced by people that we don't trust. It's the same people that are out there with not caring about the safety of vaccines. Just so we're clear on that. These people are pharmaceutical companies. And it's just crazy that we're arguing about that. But nonetheless, the point is that he's blocked from sharing something with somebody on a direct message from Twitter. That means that not only are they actively monitoring what you're sending to people, or more so maybe just big people like Joe Rogan, but in any sense, we know that they're watching algorithmically and censoring even direct messages. Remember when Instagram told you that even if you type something in the chat box and don't send it, right? So it's just in the little box, you haven't even hit send. They can use that in a report to censor you, even if you haven't sent it. That is literally thought crime. I mean, it's just incredible. But we finish the clip. But the reality is that he has every right to send these things and ask questions, no matter whether it's true or not.
Wrong. So I'm asking questions. And this is, I don't know if this guy's right or wrong. So I'm asking questions. So I go, hey, tell me about this. So I send it. Message not sent. I try to send it again. Message not sent. I'm like, oh my God, what's your email? I had to send it through email. It's blocked.
You'd think that if these things keep happening to old Joe here, that he would start actually branching out into realizing that, yeah, there is a bit more going on here. Yeah, they are actively censoring people that want to talk about anything outside the narrative. Right now in COVID world, it's crazy. We've never seen it like this. And they told you they were going to do it in Event 201. They actually outlined how they had to censor people that were saying things that not even necessarily wrong, but just created vaccine hesitancy, because their argument in the tabletop exercise with the vaccine was so paramount and so important that we even had to censor things like that because it would scare people. Welcome to the reality we're in right now. Exactly. just unbelievable. But bringing this over into, of course, the future that they're trying to build. Now, this is from the World Economic Forum and Harvard Business Review. Schwab wants a digital citizenship to use the internet. This is not a new thing. This has been something that's been discussed for a long time, proposed using the concepts of hate speech and manipulation by foreign governments and all the same tools they use to try to manipulate your rights. They're telling you that you need a digital sense of citizenship to be able to prove who you are. Otherwise, you can't use the internet, right? We all see where this is going. I mean, this is yet another choke point, another way to ban you from the world if you don't prove to be a good citizen. This is social credit. It's like everything else we've told you about. Now you can't access the internet, right? So not only are they going to stop you from saying things on the internet they don't like, they're going to stop you from even entering the internet if they don't like what you were saying in the past. That's where this is going. Here's what this is just a little clip they share. Listen to what she says.
It's not even employees, it's citizens. We need better digital citizenship. And actually, if everyone becomes better digital citizens, the whole world gets stronger from this. And so it's, you can't just relegate this to your security team. It's a business topic. It's a team topic. And really, it's a digital citizenship topic.
I don't know why she can't manage to say that, but I'm not going to hate. I have problems sometimes too. But it says right here, the World Economic Forum recently ran a live stream with Interpol, Cloudflare, and cybersecurity firm, and a cybersecurity firm to discuss the upcoming cyber pandemic agenda. Right? Polygon, cyber polygon. That's what it was. Whitney Webb did a great article about this. We're going to read one of hers in a minute or some parts of it. And this has been planned openly this whole time, which many believe will be the next steps to justify creating a digital citizenship to be able to even use the internet. Now, again, this is not a secret discussion. This has been talked about more than once and proposed by members of U.S. Congress. Here is Klaus Schwab telling you in 2016 what we're being told now is so ridiculous, we won't even talk about it. That is so, it's a joke, and that no one even, you know, Bill Gates's ex-wife, apparently, or about to be, who cares about that, is basically on film saying, "Who's that even real? Is that even a technology that exists?" Like, so ridiculous, right? It's like, just like, come on, dude. It's obviously something that's there. You guys have funded the research, and the fact that they would do that needs to show you that there's something suspicious happening there. So here is Klaus Schwab saying, I think this is paraphrasing. I'll actually play you the exact quote, but this is generally correct. He says, "We will have a chip implanted under our skin or in the brain within 10 years. That's what they are talking about. Okay. This is Klaus Schwab in 2016. So how in the world can we pretend like a microchip being even discussed in this topic is so conspiracy theory ridiculous? This is what baffles me, that I've talked about these people, or when Whitney and I talked about someone like Matt Hepburn or Moncef Salawi and their involvement in the vaccine program, despite being like overwhelmingly focused on bioimplantable medicine. Like that was what they did, and they're leading the vaccine program. It's like, well, that's pretty strange. Why do they just shift directions and go work on a vaccine program? It doesn't make sense. There's more happening here. And I'm not trying to insinuate anything other than there's more going on behind the scenes with what they're trying to accomplish. And if you can't see that with what we're with the information that's on the surface level, then you're making a choice to ignore it. Now, this is it's in French. So I'll play I'll show you the video. Here is the actual article. And of course, you'll find it very obvious that they don't mention anything about that very big point they make in this article. But here's what it says. Now, here it's going to read the captioned at the bottom because it's in French. And I have double checked this with somebody who speaks French. So here, watch what it says.
Oui, ça fait à peu près 20 ans. Hein. J'étais un des pionniers.
C'était encore les mots des grosses valises ou dans la voiture.
Exactement. Et j'étais très fier. Ouais.
Aujourd'hui, au bout de ça, on parle de puces qu'on pourra.
We talk of chips that will be able to establish when it's certainly.
Dans les 10 années à venir. Et d'abord on va les
years to come is first we will implant them in our invasive clothing, right? That's where we are now, right? So he's already telling you this. He's telling you that we are going to be doing this in the next few years. And he's right. How did he possibly know that? Right. I mean, obviously they've been telling you because they've been driving at this for a long time, but who knew that COVID-19 would come along? And as they all keep telling you, it's been a rapid escalation because COVID, right? People were very resistant to this and they still are, but because COVID, they're now rationalizing this and saying, well, we need it now because you're all going to die, even though that's not very like almost obviously not true, but he's telling you that. And we're at that point. Now here's what goes next.
Implantés dans nos vêtements, c'est-à-dire wearables, comme on le dit. Et après, on pourrait s'imaginer.
It says, and we say, and then we could imagine when some plants
quand les implantes, dans nos cerveaux,
in our brains or in another part, and it, I think that's a translation issue right there, and the end, maybe there is a communication.
Dans notre peau. Et à la fin, peut-être il y a une communication
directe. Direct between our brain and the digital world. There, this, you, just so you all know, Google Translate or YouTube, they're terrible. It's really bad, but you get the gist of it. I've actually checked this specifically with somebody who speaks French, and it's actually not as broken as that. But look at what he's saying to you. We're starting with the wearables. That's what's going to happen first. He's already, this is just like Event 2 on, they're telling you what's going to happen. Then we're going to talk about implants in our brain or communicating with our brain. This is what DARPA, the military, they've all been talking about this for the last 10 years. They're trying to create a machine brain interface. Where have you heard that before, right? It's not a coincidence that this is the direction. COVID-19 just simply gave them the excuse to drive this in incredibly fast. Now, whether or not you think COVID-19 is something we should be concerned about or is even really there, now, in this focal point in this conversation, that's not relevant. It's being used either way. They're using that to drive this forward, and they'll admit that. They'll tell you that this was such a beneficial situation that we never would have got these out so fast if it wasn't for this or blah, blah, blah. I've seen all these comments. Wearables first, then we'll have implantables possibly in our brains, and then possibly being able to communicate with the other people's brains and the rest of the digital world. He's the one that is on record talking about blending our biological and our physical identities.
What the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities.
And that's not a analogy, right? That's not a metaphor. That's what he's talking about. And this is what they're driving at. So these are the people driving the Great Reset. These are the people driving the technocratic revolution, the Internet of Things, and the whole nine yards. And they're the ones talking about these kind of radical changes that the vast majority of Americans either don't care about or don't want. So how is that? Because COVID-19, that's what's happening. Not a secret. Now, I recommend you take a look at this, dig in further, and watch what he has to say in plenty of other interviews, because they're not very candid, because they don't think people have the wherewithal to go back and look through this stuff. It's all right there. That's why you can look back at, let's say, the CEO of Pfizer or Moderna. It's sort of the same point either way, but you can look back. I believe it was Talzax, and that's not the CEO, but in any case, a leader in one of the vaccine companies. I hate that I even have to say it like that. I'm just trying to be honest with you guys. If it's either Moderna or Pfizer. In any case, the point is that they said on the record that this was genetic manipulation. They said that this was hacking the software of life. That's a direct quote. And yet today, when we talk about the exact same thing he was pointing at and say those terms, it's ridiculous fake news. It's that simple. It's that obvious if you're just willing to be honest with yourself and realize that just because it's stated on the mainstream media, just because the New York Times writes it, does not mean it's true. It's incredible that I even have to say that out loud with all we know about the foreign policy. But it's like there's plenty of people out there that would not even bat an eye, not even quibble. They would not balk at calling out lies about foreign policy or that the government would lie to you about everything, completely manufacture chemical events to lie to you about invasions of countries, OPCW discussions. Yet those same people will refuse to realize that they're lying to you, the same people, about vaccines or about any other part of health. It's incredible to me. Or they're just ignoring it because it works for their business. In any case, they're choosing to hide this information from you. And that's catastrophically dangerous. But going forward, here's another point about the new wearable future that's coming your way.
Face masks are not the only accessory brought into our lives by the pandemic. Now there's a bracelet that lets you access your vaccination information digitally. Joanne Pileggi joins us live with more on this.
Now, these bracelets are the ones we've already talked about, but it's not just about the vaccine card. That's a new addition. These are about monitoring your health, predicting whether you're going to get sick, tracking your vitals, and in some cases, as Whitney will show you, I'll read her article, some cases actually reading your emotional status, knowing what you're thinking to a degree. And this is not a joke. This is openly reported. Now, on that note, by the way, I was possibly going to have Whitney on today. She's just not feeling too well. We're going to try to get her on tomorrow. We'll give you an update on everything going on with that. She's got an article coming, but there's more going on, and there's a reason there's been a little gap here, but we'll talk about it. We'll get her on the show probably tomorrow. But let's keep going on this.
And Joanne, I understand we're already seeing some people wearing these things in our area.
That's right, Shayna. Good evening, everyone. If you want, there is now another way to show and prove that you've been vaccinated. It's in the form of an ID bracelet, and one Philadelphia restaurant is making sure all of its employees have theirs.
So make sure you never go to this restaurant. Guess what it's called. Look at what it's called.
As Central American specialties sizzle on the grill at this Reading Terminal restaurant, notice the employee.
It's called El Mercury. I just find that to be perfect, right? This guy is making sure they get their vaccines, and it's called El Mercury. It's like, that's just priceless. But think about how incredible it is that he is making you get this thing. First of all, on a smaller note, he damn well better be paying for those, which he might not be. But understand, if you work anywhere, even if they try, like if you have to have something to work there, they're required to cover that. I used to manage things like this, so I understand it. Like if you have to wear a certain t-shirt, they can't make you pay for it, which happens all the time. But it's because people don't follow, they're cheats and they're trying to cut their bottom line. But in this case, these are making them wear these things, which it's invasive. We're talking about invasive information about your vitals, all sorts of things. And now he's going to make them wear these watches to make them check whether they're vaccinated. So that means they have to be vaccinated to work there. You are literally making them get an experimental, unapproved vaccine, right? Which I always make sure we see is that this is not a joke. This is January 12th, 2021, experimental, according to the NIH. This is the Moderna vaccine. mRNA-1273, that's the main one. It's called experimental as of 2021 by the NIH. I don't understand why this is hard for people to understand, as well as the FDA very clearly stating, as I'm going to show later in the show as well, that this is an unapproved vaccine. Disease caused by this fact sheet contains information. You may receive, did they change this again? Good God, it's in here. There it is. Man, they did. This is getting changed, but they're not changing the revised. This is crazy. They're just constantly moving stuff around on this. I look at it all the time. But so it's right here. It's unapproved, right? It is an unapproved vaccine. It only has an emergency authorization. There is no FDA-approved vaccine. Gee, I wonder why they wouldn't want that right up at the top and very obvious, right? I'm going to go through more of this in a minute. But it is an experimental, unapproved vaccine. There's no way around that. That means it is literally illegal. Where were we? Oh, here. It's literally illegal to force someone to get this. There's no air in the room there. That is complete, absolute certainty. They cannot force you or mandate an experimental, unapproved anything. But yet it's happening, right? And this is why they kind of pulled back. I mean, well, the restaurant, they will leave it up to the business. No, you can't leave it up to the businesses. You can't do it. There's no way around it. But they did this because they knew that we were catching on to this. And so they want to leave it on these business owners so they can be legally held responsible and go to jail or whatever's going to happen. Because the government cares about you.
Please, all of them are wearing a blue bracelet.
No, I didn't notice. No, I thought it was a fashion statement.
Not at all.
Right. Of course, that's the only one they ask. Right. The guy just wasn't paying attention. Right. Don't. I bet you they asked a lot of other people and they said, yeah, that's terrible. Or yeah, I don't want
to. It's a new ID bracelet with a QR code that proves you are vaccinated. Something that was.
These ones, I forgot. These ones aren't the invasive ones, at least not that it doesn't seem that way anyway. This is just basically like a walking passport, vaccine passport. That's what it is.
The restaurant owner, Sophia DeLeon, who bought them for her employees.
We partnered with Immunivan to upload our vaccine cards, and we're a van that lets customers know that we're all vaccinated.
That's the beauty, isn't it? Yeah.
Right. Immunivan is a wearable ID for anyone who wants it.
Dr. Tashoff.
So now we're talking about wearable IDs, right? Hashtag boycott El Mercury. Get that going. Like, I just don't, I cannot even have zero patience for anybody that thinks that's okay. I don't care whether you believe in this thing or not. Where did it become okay to force what you think is right on a, oh, that's right. Our entire government does that all the time. Right? No wonder why we think that's okay. Go around and force all the countries to do how we think. Don't you love like Bush or Trump even going, I'm not going to make sure, we're not going to force our beliefs on other people around the world. And you go around and do just that and force Iran and force Syria and force Iraq and force Afghanistan because we never do that. God, it's just pathetic. It's the same reason people around the country, we, you know, rampant lawlessness. Might is right, right? That's how this country operates. So when we go around and we think we can force people to do what we want, and there's crime and manipulation and rape and murder and pillaging happening in our country, it's because we're subconsciously telling everybody that's okay. Because we do it as a government all the time. And we frame that as freedom and liberty. No wonder we're confused.
Burton developed the product with the help of his son, a Wharton School grad, and made the connection to El Mercury.
As we come.
Yeah, I don't care about this. Now, the point is, as somebody makes the point in there too, is that these are, this is preliminary. This will not be the thing because this is ridiculous. I mean, as somebody, you basically enter your information. Anybody could lie about that. There's ways you could easily manipulate this, but that's not what they're leading to. This is meant to lead as a, they're trying to normalize the reality of this, which will very quickly translate into something a hell of a lot more invasive. And by the way, that's not my opinion. That's openly stated and has been for a long time. If you don't know that, why are you still watching mainstream media? That'd be the obvious reality right there, because it's everywhere else. Now, this is on Unlimited Hangout. I have it on the readable thing from my highlighting program, because when I highlight on their on their page, it's weird. I'll just show you. It's quite strange. I think it's just the font that they use. But if I try to highlight, it shrinks it. It drives me crazy because I can't read it, you see? But it's a great article, and I hope you will read this whole thing in its entirety because it's worth it. But I'm going to read a reasonable portion, but I want you guys to hear this in this reality. This is this was Whitney Webb, I believe, who wrote this. It's weird. I don't see it on the readable one. Yeah, Whitney Webb. So this Biden proposal could make the U.S. a digital dictatorship, which is clearly where this is going. No ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, they are creating a world where you can be shut off in a lot of different ways. Now, it says a new proposal by the Biden administration to create a health-focused federal agency modeled after DARPA, of all people, is not what it appears to be. Promoted as a way to end cancer, this resuscitated health DARPA, which remember Trump and his daughter were all working on, HARPA, conceals a dangerous agenda. Now, what's ridiculous is the concept of curing cancer is such a joke because there's been an endless amount of things. Even parsley has been shown to have incredible effects in regard to cancer. But no, we work with chemotherapy. We'll put that poison in your body that has about a general about 3% success rate when all said and done. Look it up for yourself. And that makes sense, right? If a car company made a car that exploded 97% of the time, do you think that would still be used? No. But you know why it is? Because as far as I understand it, and I haven't checked this for the last so many years, but there's probably just more added to it would be the point today. But at the time, the only classification of drug where a doctor gets a direct cut of the profit when used is chemotherapeutic drugs. I wonder why. And sure enough, it keeps being used, even though it's pretty much guaranteed not to work. And even when it happens to work, quote unquote, it comes back within 6 months, most usually, if you talk to most any of these doctors. And then what the reason you don't hear that is because they tend to cut off the observation about 4 months, I guess. I used to research this a lot. And the idea is that then they go, hey, they worked, right? You don't mark that down as it came back. You mark it down as it worked because 2 months later it comes and you go, oh, we're done watching. Anyway, the point is they're using cancer as a way to pretend to fight it so they can use this as a backdoor when it's really about COVID. Now, the point is that cancer is a huge industry. You know, the whole breast cancer awareness nonsense. You realize that that does literally nothing to help anybody because it's all about sales and making pink Coke cans and whatever else. When what are we raising awareness about? Is anybody confused that cancer is clearly dominating the world today, at least in this country, that like one out of every two people was most likely going to have cancer in their lifetime? Most of them die from it. And that's not a problem. It's because we're doing this to ourselves. With breast cancer, how about we put that money into actual research into what's going on? Because that's not where it goes. We wrote articles about it on the Last American Vagabond. You get a fraction of that money that goes to actual research to actual breast cancer. The rest of it goes to promoting awareness. It's not a joke. So it perpetuates. It's a business of itself. These things drive me crazy, as I'm sure you could tell. See, and this is why these shows end up being 3 hours long. I get it. I totally get it, but it is what it is. Last Wednesday, President Biden was widely praised in mainstream and healthcare-focused media for his call to create a, quote, new biomedical research agency. Because, you know, we need more government agencies, right? Because we can't even name all of them right now, but let's add more of them. Modeled after the, and who's going to pay for that? Obviously, you. Modeled after the U.S. military's high-risk, high-reward Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA. One of the companies, or excuse me, one of the agencies completely involved with all of the directions of all these things that they're working on, with the nano-implantable implantable gels and implantable nano-platforms and all these things that have been worked on long before COVID-19 that are now being discovered as some way to help you fight COVID-19. Or possibly, or maybe, or we'll just use it anyway. As touted by the president, the agency would seek to develop innovative and breakthrough treatments for cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and diabetes, with a call to end cancer as we know it. So let me ask you this. Why would he not mention COVID-19? Right? I mean, that's ridiculous. Clearly, if it's about fighting illness, why would you not be like, and obviously COVID-19, because that's what everyone's screaming about. Well, it's pretty obvious. That's a glaring absence right there. Right? As they say, the silence is deafening. They're clearly choosing not to talk about that. There are always these points that you can pick out. Now it says, far from ending cancer in the way most Americans might envision it, the proposed agency would merge national security with health security. Remember, we talked about this already. We're talking about health police. This is not a joke, guys. They've already talked about this. That guy, I think it's Peter Hotez or whatever his name is, not worth remembering. He is openly talking about the UN working on some sort of like effort to fight back against stuff. We're talking about health police. It says in such a way as to use both physical and mental health warning signs to prevent outbreaks of disease or violence before they occur. Right. So this becomes the idea that they're going to start adding, like, you know, suddenly you start talking about anti-vax discussions. Well, COVID might be affecting your brain. Right. We've already seen them laying this groundwork for in the UK and talking about how it's causing mental issues, long lasting psychosis and blah, blah, blah. None of it has any actual ground in science or proving that these are the case. They're just going, well, they had COVID. So we're told after a PCR test, right? And then these things happened afterwards. So it's probably COVID, right? That's the gist of their connection right there. Correlation is not causation, but they don't care. It's erring on the side of their agenda. But it goes on to say, to use both physical and mental warning signs to prevent outbreaks of disease or violence before they occur, such a system is a recipe for a technocratic pre-crime organization with the potential to criminalize both mental and physical illness as well as wrongthink, right? I mean, I know this is just forbidden, like we can't even talk about how they might abuse something like that because they're all altruistic heroes all the time, as long as they're on your political side, right? But the point is, clearly, this can be abused. What if somebody doesn't like somebody? What if somebody's wife is cheating on them and they go, you know what? I'm gonna claim that his thing says he's about to be sick so we can quarantine him and get him away for four, right? Police do that all the time. And we know they've been caught for it, abusing their power to manipulate a personal situation. Okay, let's take it out further. How about a government wants to hide what certain people are saying or manipulate the message or get them separated for some reason? Well, suddenly, our mandatory wearables are suddenly telling us that you're sick or that you're about to be sick or that we think that you're having long haul issues manipulating your brain or, you know, whatever. I know that people would balk at this stuff, but they balked at the idea they'd force you to wear masks. They balked at the idea of locking down the entire country. They balked at the idea of all sorts of things that we're currently living through. Going back to any number of things that were fake news right up until they were actually happening. Now, that reminds me of something that I forgot to grab today. What was that? A CNN article. Oh, Derek shared that about, I think I do have it in the show today. Right? It's the same point about things that they are reporting about now that were fake news back when Derek wrote about it. It's constant. It's incredible. Now it says the Biden administration has asked Congress for $6.5 billion, right? So another cool $7 billion, no big deal, coming out of your pocket. Right. And this is over and over and over, adding on to the trillions that were spent out for stimulus that went to anybody but Americans to fund the agency. All right. Let me ask you, if you ask all Americans right now, and I probably like we'd ever get an accurate response because they we're never going to see what the real numbers are, because if they can manipulate the voting election numbers, why wouldn't they manipulate a tally or a vote they want you to see? But the point is, most Americans do not want to spend $6.5 billion for another agency. We already have health agencies. Why can't we just mandate them with whatever the point is that this is about more. It's about creating the infrastructure for what they're trying to create. They don't want to just use one of these other health agencies because they're already using them for what they're... And by the way, on top of that, we don't trust them. And they know that. HHS and the CDC, the FDA, they're jokes. They're all captured agencies. The Biden administration, $6.5 million, which would largely be guided by Biden's recently confirmed top science advisor, Eric Lander. Lander, formerly the head of the Silicon Valley-dominated Broad Institute, right? Silicon Valley, because of course they know the most about health, don't they? Has been controversial for his ties to none other than eugenicist and child sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. Isn't it odd how they continually use people connected to Jeffrey Epstein throughout Trump's administration, throughout Biden's administration? It's almost like there's something to that. And his relatively recent praise for James Watson, an overtly racist eugenicist. Because this isn't about eugenics, is it? It's not like we've already seen multiple examples of people being basically euthanized or going after specifically people that have dementia, or the UK putting do not resuscitate orders on people with mental disabilities, because that makes perfect sense, right? Because mental disabilities cause what exactly? COVID problems? No. Drains on the sun? No. It's about stopping people who are issues and drains on their resources. Do not resuscitate, you understand, means if they fall ill, you do not help them. Because he has dyslexia, we're going to stop helping him? Yes, in the UK, that literally happened. Now, this is the reality of what they're trying to accomplish, guys. In my opinion, I think it's backed up by the facts. Now, it says, despite that, Lander is set to be confirmed by the Senate and Congress and is reportedly significantly enthusiastic about the proposed new health DARPA. Of course he is. Eugenicists love to have control of health, don't they? This new agency, set to be called ARPA-H or HARPA, if they call it ARPA-H with a dash, just so they don't call it what Trump named it, I'm going to laugh. Saying ARPA-H is ridiculous. It's just funny to me, though. And I don't know if that's why they did it, but I just find that to be telling. Would be housed within the National Institutes of Health. Of course it would be. And would raise the NIH budget to over $51 billion. Great. So it basically amounts to more funding for the very group that people are the most concerned about. Now we see why they don't want to just go, here, NIH, you run this point. Because we don't trust them. Because they are very obviously dishonest in a bunch of different ways. Because they've been involved with, as an entity, both NIH and NIH, because they're one's under the other, they have been involved with some of the most drastically obvious problems, biomanipulation. I mean, guys, this has been constant. We've talked about this 100 times over on this channel. It says, unlike other agencies, at the NIH, HARPA would differ in that the projects it funds would not be peer reviewed prior to approval. Well, isn't that interesting? Why would you not want the process that they're all telling us we need for science, except when we don't want you seeing what we're doing? Perfect. Instead, hand-picked program managers would make all funding decisions. Funding would also take the form of milestone-driven payments instead of more traditional multi-year grants. So they're basically paying these people to keep quiet and continuing to do projects that don't get to be seen by anybody, despite the fact that you're paying for it. Thanks, government. Clearly, they care about your best interest, don't they? ARPA-H will likely fund and promote mRNA vaccines as one of the breakthroughs that will cure cancer. We've already seen this, and I agree with that assessment. Some of the mRNA vaccine manufacturers that have produced some of the most widely used COVID vaccines, such as Pfizer Biotech, stated last month, quote, cancer is the next problem to tackle with mRNA tech post-COVID. So do you realize that they have yet to even approve this technology? None of these are approved. Emergency authorized, which by the way, historically means that there are problems and risks. We just we're okay with them because we think we're in so much danger. No, we're really not. And their numbers back that up. So that they just keep stretching out this emergency, even though it's not really there. Even though the UK has already stated this is a non-high consequence infectious disease back in March of 2020. I mean, it's to use these things now that are unapproved, that have never successfully been used until now, and already we're jumping over to make new vaccines. Can anybody explain that? other than they're clearly know that this is the agenda? How are we making new things that are also going to be emergency proof? We haven't even approved the first iteration of the technology. These are very obvious questions that none of the journalists out there want to ask. And this is why we get censored. Biotech has been developing mRNA gene therapies for cancer for years and is collaborating with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to create mRNA-based treatments for tuberculosis and HIV. Shocking. Silicon Valley, the military, and wearable revolution. Now it says the most recent effort to create HARPA combines well with the coordinated push of Silicon Valley companies into the field of healthcare, specifically Silicon Valley companies that double as contractors to the U.S. to U.S. intelligence. And or the military, right? Because, of course, we want Silicon Valley defense contractors to be running your health. Or rather, more specifically, enforcing your health with their health police. This is exactly what it looks like, guys. And this is exactly what we warned about in the beginning of all of this. As she points out, people like Microsoft, Google, and Amazon. Shocker. During the COVID-19 crisis, this trend towards Silicon Valley dominance of the healthcare sector has accelerated considerably due to top-down push toward digitalization with telemedicine, remote monitoring, and the like. Now, this was something, I'm probably not going to be able to find it now. Where was that? Oh, I did. I found it. Okay. So this is, I'm talking about this way at the end, but this is irrelevant to what we're currently talking about. Right? Despite the U.S. vaccine adverse reporting system, VAERS, being a government project 2 years ago, the contract was handed over to none other than General Dynamics to administer and run. This is ridiculous. General Dynamics, $30 million committed to run the vaccine adverse event reporting system. How does it even make sense that a defense contractor is running a vaccine reporting system? Right. Well, it goes back to what she was just saying. This is an obvious blending of your national security level with your health security. And they're creating this. It's just blending. And it's going to be seen in the same light. So that's why think about the whole idea that we're reporting these things to a defense contractor. No wonder this is being, they are the very people that have lied to you about 1,000 things they've done, that they've armed and funded. And these are the same companies that in most cases you can find illicit sales to people they shouldn't be selling to. Right? This is a criminal outfit that we're talking about, in my opinion. And it's very obvious that this is being built in a way that is militaristic, that is dictatorial. This is alarming. Now it says companies such as Amazon, Palantir, and Google. Oh, I skipped this part. One interesting example is Amazon, which launched a wearable last year that purports to not only use biometrics to monitor people's physical health and fitness, but to track their emotional state as well. And remember, this is not something that we're talking about. This is something that can be reviewed elsewhere. And the idea is about monitoring whether you're going to be sick. Now ask yourself how that can be abused by the very people we're talking about. To tell you that suddenly you're an enemy of the state because you did this or did that, or we're also tracking what you're saying. We can hear you, other things on your wrist, or whatever. Because it's not like they've ever lied about tracking and manipulation, right? It's not like they've ever tracked and sold your data and, telling you that they swear they'll never do it, including the French government, the UK government, the US government, on and on and on. Companies such as Amazon, Palantir, and Google are set to be intimately involved in HARPA's activities. So now we've got private companies that have been that are probably the most, at least in what's currently going on, some of these companies that are just the problem, that are clearly not out to make anybody better, that are all about control and their agendas, are involved with a health agency that's going to be enforcing what they want. In particular, Google has launched numerous health tech initiatives in 2020. It is set to have a major role in this new agency due to its longstanding ties to the Obama administration when Biden was vice president, and to President Biden's top science advisor, Eric Lander. Shocking. In addition, last September, Google teamed up with the Department of Defense as part of a new AI-driven predictive health program that also has links to the U.S. intelligence community, right? So in September, in the middle of this, so we're told, they're already talking about predictive health. This is pre-crime, medical pre-crime stuff, telling you that you're going to get sick. And why then is it linked to the intelligence community? Because exactly what we're telling you. As noted by Unlimited Hangout, and this is actually an article I recommend you read. You should read this whole thing, by the way. Google to gain access to, quote, the largest repository of disease and cancer-related medical data in the world. Whitney and I talked about this on the show, which is held by the Defense Health Agency, right? So Google is now going to have access to the largest repository of your medical information. And they've been trying to do that forever. So is Facebook, so have a lot of them. And COVID made it happen. What a coincidence. The military is currently being used to pilot COVID-19-related biometric wearables for returning to work safely. Last December, it was announced that Hill Air Force Base in Utah would make biometric wearables a mandatory part of the uniform for some squadrons. And this is how it starts. Just like always, they are rolling these things out slowly and normalizing them in ways that you will see, you'll hear about the military using this or doing that. Oh, well, I guess it's normal and safe then. According to the Air Force, these devices detect biometric indicators that are then analyzed for 165 different biomarkers by the Defense Threat Reduction Agency, right? Philips Healthcare AI algorithm that, quote, attempts to recognize an infection or virus around 48 hours before the onset of symptoms. But let me ask you this. The Defense Threat Reduction Agency, does that sound like it's only about viruses? How about they monitor your heart rate? Or anything else and say, uh-oh, this guy looks like a hostile, right? This is where these things are arguably going, not just about health, but about anything, about whether you are doing what you're told. Are you at the right place when you're supposed to be, right? Or are you skipping this? Or are you doing that? Like there, this is about creating docile citizens that just do what they're told. And if you think otherwise, then you need to do your research because it's been stated over and over that this is about making a better world. China has already done this. And clearly, it's not about making a better world. It's about controlling you. Now, it says the development of the algorithm began well before the COVID-19 crisis, shocker, and is a recent iteration of a series of military research projects that appear to have begun under the 2007 DARPA Predicting Health and Disease Program. Now, it says while the interest of the military, the wearables are primarily intended for mass use, a big step toward the infrastructure needed for the resurrection of a biosurveillance program to be run by the national security state. And she says resurrection for a reason, because these things have been slowly pushed and tried and pulled back more than once. Looks like they just needed a catalyzing event to make it happen. Not the first time. One indicator of the push for mass use is that the same Aura smart ring being used by the Air Force was also recently utilized by the NBA to prevent COVID-19 outbreaks among basketball players. And let's not pretend that that wasn't a clear ploy. Starting with, now look at all those famous people. They're wearing, oh, those don't look cool, right? And that's what this was meant to do. The era of digital dictatorships is nearly here. Now it says, making mandatory wearables the new normal, not just for COVID-19 prevention, but for monitoring health in general, would institutionalize quarantining people who have no symptoms of an illness, but only an opaque algorithm's determination that vital signs indicate abnormal activity. Think about how scary that sounds. You don't have a choice, just like now. And they're already priming you for it. Well, you don't have a choice now. Why don't we listen to the algorithm? Given that no AI is 100% accurate and that AI is only as good as the data it's trained on, such a system would be guaranteed to make regular errors. The question is how many? And I would add the second question would be how many are intentional? Because let's not pretend like that's not just as likely to make it happen for some sort of an effort or agenda or selfish desire. Because we are human after all, and to pretend like governments or doctors or scientists or police are just altruistic by nature is childish. Sure, there's plenty of good people. Doesn't mean that guy right next to him is a horrible, dangerous sociopath. It says adoption of these technologies has benefited from the COVID-19 crisis, of course, as supporters are seizing the opportunity to accelerate their introduction. As a result, their use will soon become ubiquitous if this advancing agenda continues unimpeded. That's what we're trying to fight against. This, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't have the right. You want to wear this? Wear it. You want to get your vaccine? Get it. It's your choice is the point. I plead with you not to, but it's your choice. And that's the opposite of what's happening on the other side of this argument, that we don't have a choice, that we have to for everyone's interest. But that's not true. And you always have a choice. It says, though this push for wearables is obvious now, signs of the agenda were visible several years ago. And this is the reality that we need to remember, that this has been pushed and discussed and tried and failed until they had enough momentum. According to the World Economic Forum, luminary and historian Yuval Noah Harari, the transition to digital dictatorships will have a big watershed moment once governments, quote, start monitoring and surveying what is happening inside your body and inside your brain. Is it possible that watershed moment was COVID-19? He says that the mass adoption of such technology would make human beings hackable animals. You know, what like hacking the software of life? Isn't that what they said about the vaccine? That's interesting. While those who abstain from having this technology on or in their bodies would become part of the new useless class. Yeah, of course. Talking about an apartheid world, the vaccine apartheid. That's what this is. The NIH, which would house this new HARPA, has spent hundreds of millions of dollars experimenting with the use of wearables since 2015, not only for detecting disease symptoms, but also for monitoring individuals' diets and even illegal drug consumption. But let's pretend like it's just about one thing. It's just about controlling your life under the guise of helping you. On the Insider, this is from April 26th, proactive health monitoring, like catching early signs of illness, will replace the current era of reactive wearables, according to a CEO whose smart rings were used in the NBA, right? And this is what Klaus Schwab is telling you, that we will first start with them on our skin, on our clothes, maybe, but within 10 years, probably in your brain, communicating with the digital world. But that's fake news if you dare to say it right now. But as Derek points out, does anyone remember last year when I did an investigation for T-Lab showing that wearable tech was the future of healthcare? In fact, this is what got me booted from YouTube. That's not a joke. So Derek writes about this. And this is the article on T-Lab. U.S. government awards contracts to 7 organizations with ties to Gates Foundation, DARPA, Big Tech. Right? And that's apparently fake news. That's what they said. Here's the video he's talking about on conscious resistance. I recommend you watch it. The future of healthcare is wearable tech, biosensors, injectables. All of this is factual. It's easy to look up. And now even CNN is breaking news. Wearables are where it's going, right? The point is, guys, now it's on the front page of CNN. So Derek is not allowed to say the exact same thing before it's allowed to be reported, because that's what these fake news journalists really are. They're stenographers that state what they're told at the right time for them. This has always been the reality, and Derek was ahead of the game, as usual, and they censored him for it because they're children. This is where it's all going. Now, here is an interesting discussion that I'm probably going to circle back more and talk about. Jesus, look at that. I'm just glanced over at the chat. It's on YouTube. And I'm just seeing 1,000 different messages being deleted. Now, you guys can tell me, is that the Google moderators doing that? That is pretty crazy. I'm going to look real quick, actually, because that is pretty nuts to me. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I really wouldn't.
It's an interesting discussion that I'm...
Sorry, real quick. I just want to see if this is the case, because that's pretty wild. I may take a picture. Maybe I can show you guys. Because we've been seeing Google moderators doing this constantly. But
I glanced over at the chat. It's on YouTube. And I just seen 1,000 different messages.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, no. Oh, no, that's terrible. All right, Erie, you gotta go back and fix that. You got to go back and bring them back. Okay, never mind. So we had a little bit of a pocket dial issue there. My apologies for the delay, but I was like seeing just everybody in the chat being deleted or banned or removed, and I guess there was a little issue there. So apologies for you guys if you're on the chat, but maybe it's just a quick little example of why you shouldn't be on YouTube, because YouTube sucks. But that was an accident anyway. But anyway, back to the point, back to the show. Now, nanotrap development is something that's very interesting because, again, the conversation of nanotechnology is, I mean, it's just, it's becoming ubiquitous. And they're telling you this was always going to be the future. Yeah, no, I see you, Erie. No worries. I see you. Just if you can, just go back and undelete that, or not delete, but there's some that looks like they got banned. If you could go back and maybe bring it back. Anyways, no worries. But so nanotrap developed by University of Chicago researchers could be a breakthrough for COVID-19 treatment. I just find it a little odd that this is continually pushed at a time when, I mean, all of a sudden, all this stuff is breaking out. And of course, it's always being driven by COVID-19. And this one was shared with me by MF Doom, but it says a possible breakthrough coronavirus treatment has been developed by scientists at the University of Chicago. Put simply, it works by setting a trap. Now, you'll find a lot of interesting correlations here with what we've already seen based on the sort of injectable experimental injections from everything else. But it says a coronavirus nanotrap is a microscopic particle with a surface that mimics the cells to which coronavirus usually attach. Okay, so now we're mimicking the entire cell as opposed to just the spike protein. Isn't that interesting? It says once they take the bait, they're trapped and can't do any harm. The immune system then destroys them. Okay, well, that's interesting. So you're pretending to be a cell, mimicking something else, and then your body's trained to destroy that thing. Okay, is it not possible that this could work out in a way where your body starts to recognize your cells as the problem and destroys them? Yes, it can, just like the other issue we're seeing. But who cares? Because it's all experimental technology, and this is a free open lab, the world, it seems today. So they're all testing all their new random art, experimental investigational technologies, right? All for your safety. Professor Jung, I mean, think about the reality of this. We're talking about something that has a 0.14% fatality rate. That's including the over 70s. You remove that, it's basically non-existent. That's directly from the CDC. We know that asymptomatic transmission is basically not existent on all the science that they're ignoring. It shows you that over 10 million people, only 300 were found to be asymptomatic, and of them, none of them were transmissible, right? So my point is, we're in a situation where you're not really in risk, and we're going to make up some new investigational nanotrap stuff that's going to mimic things in your body and destroy them and all this, when all you need to do is just be healthy, take vitamin D, go outside, eat vitamin C. Right? It's staggering to me that we're trying to put things in our body that are not necessary because we're pretending like this thing is the most dangerous thing in the world when they're literally simultaneously, quietly telling you the opposite. Now, it goes on to say, Professor Jung Huang of the that school of molecular engineering, since the pandemic began, a research team has been developing this new way to treat COVID. Okay. So since the pandemic began, I'm just trying to think of the interesting, I think this has just been a boon for anybody with any investigational technology to argue this is some, you know, of course, nanotechnology related because we see where the writing on the wall, they're already telling you this. I was going to talk about it in a minute, but of course, the very clear discussion from June 2002 telling you that we're going to alter evolution with nanotechnology in 20 years, which is right where we are today. But it says, we have done rigorous testing to prove these nanotraps work. So unlike the vaccines, apparently, and we are excited about their potential. To design the nanotrap, a research team led by postdoctoral scholar examined the spike protein on the surface of the SARS-CoV-2 virus that causes COVID-19. The spike protein binds to the ACE2 receptor, which is this is the whole point we've all learned very well. The research team designed nanoparticles that have their own ACE2 particles on their surface. Ah, so it's mimicking your ACE2 receptor, right? And then it's grabbing the other thing. And then once that's neutralized, it destroys that. So wouldn't it then possibly begin to recognize ACE2s as the issue and maybe go on destroying other parts of your body? Because that's exactly the kind of thing we're already seeing with COVID-19 vaccines. We've already seen the antibody-dependent enhancement, which plenty of science has shown you was very clearly an issue, and we weren't being informed about it, but they didn't care about that back in October. This is both the and others with neutralizing antibodies. Both ACE2 proteins and antibodies have been used before in treatments for COVID-19, but the nanoparticles create a more robust system to trap and eliminate viruses, of course. So the difference is nanotechnology. Shocker. The researchers tested the nanotraps against a pseudovirus, which is less potent than the real virus and does not replicate, using human cell, lung cells, and tissue culture plates. The result was the nanotrap completely blocked the pseudovirus from entering the cells. Once the pseudovirus bound itself to the nanoparticle, about 10 minutes after injection, the nanoparticles used a molecule that sent the body's immune microphages to engulf and degrade them. Right. So you can clearly see how this could lead in a direction that, you know, might actually hurt your body. because we already see a similar reality happening with these vaccines. I find this to be unbelievable because there are plenty of other things. I mean, like talking about the ivermectin thing, if you want, or whatever else you think, there are other things that have already been shown to be wildly effective in treating this. Sort of like people that get the flu and take treatments to make it not as severe. Instead of, let's jam this experimental injection chemical into your body and then jam these nanotraps in there too and see if that stops it. Yeah, because you're not being experimented at all. experimented on at all. Well, there's more of this coming, and this has already been the clear building direction. Amazon expanding pay with your hand tech to Seattle Whole Foods stores. Like, this is all happening very quickly under the justification of COVID-19. And this was always there. They've always been telling you, we're going to converge all of these things. We're going to change your reality. Or even more specifically, look at the document Whitney's written about more than once, the Artificial Intelligence Commission with Eric Schmidt, and openly talking about how we are going to remove these legacy systems. For instance, like the fact that every American, most Americans have their own car. Well, they're set to change that. Do we want that to change? Well, that's irrelevant. They don't care what you want. They're going to change it because that makes it more, it makes it more efficient for them to reach their goals faster than China. So they're going to destroy all these legacy systems. And a lot of, these are a lot of things that Americans hold dear. They don't care. That's what they're currently driving. And now because they've got the COVID-19 excuse, they can say, well, we're only doing this because you're in danger. Well, no, you're doing it because you planned this long before this happened. But now it makes sense to use the danger as their excuse. Not hard to see, guys, if you're just willing to pay attention. Now, getting into more about the vaccines, interesting discussion from John Rappaport, which is exactly what I've been talking about, exactly what Dr. Bakhti's been talking about, or Dr. Yeadon, or a lot of people. Is the genetic COVID vaccine creating a hurricane inside the cells of the body? Now, more specifically, what they're talking about is whether the spike protein is the issue, whether in the vaccine, whether in the in anything, that is the, and by the way, as I showed you before, there's been five or six different studies that all came to the same conclusion, that the protein, the spike protein in COVID-19 or in SARS-CoV-2 alone is enough to cause all these problems. That by itself in the body causes these issues, thrombosis and thrombocytopenia. They've all been cited. So ask yourself, why aren't they trusting the science? Isn't that the science? Yes, it is. There's not other science that says, nope, that's wrong. It's not there. So are they just ignoring the science? Yes, they are, because they don't like what it shows. This is one of these reasons why I want the whole show to be how clear that is, but it's just, you guys all know this. It's just ridiculous how people out there who've been trained that anything that's even stated on the show is automatically fake news don't care about that obvious reality. There's so many of them. But this is an interesting point in regard to the question he's posing about whether that's already an issue. Right now, are these vaccines producing more than one spike protein? And that is that why we're seeing these issues? Certainly a good question. As he says, picture this. Contrary to medical claims, the genetic injection called COVID vaccination forces cells of the body to produce not one, not hundreds of different, but hundreds of different proteins. Some of these proteins launch severe and fatal allergic reactions. Other foreign proteins stimulate the body to produce a powerful and continuous immune response that goes on too long. The person becomes severely ill or dies. Still, other proteins, which are inherently needed by the body, are now viewed as evil intruders, which must be neutralized. Sound familiar? So in this article, he wants to examine a narrow claim about the COVID RNA vaccine. It instructs the cells of the body to manufacture one and only one specific protein. What guarantee do we have that the cells of the body are manufacturing only the one desired protein during the rehearsal? Right? How do we know the cells are always making the same protein? Where's the actual proof? Where's the large confirmatory study that has examined thousands and thousands of human cells from thousands of people who've been vaccinated? He's right. That doesn't exist. Or at least I also can't find it. As he says, I haven't been able to find such a study. If it exists, where are the large follow-up studies carried out by different teams of researchers verifying or rejecting the original research, right? It's not there. Well, in the analogous area of GMO plants, which we've talked about a lot on the website, I've written about back in the day when I was still writing articles, which I need to do more again in the future, which are injected with genetic material, right? GMO plants. Long-term researcher and author Jeffrey Smith writes about, guess what? The runaway production of unintended proteins. Interesting. He says, quote, for example, long after Monsanto's Roundup Ready corn had been consumed by hundreds of millions of people, a team led by Dr. Antonou found more than 200 significant changes in its proteins and metabolites compared to non-GMO corn of the same variety. This is why people get sick. This is why people get cancer. Or why the rats in those studies got all sorts of cancer and they pretended that didn't happen. Two of the components that increased are aptly named prudicine and cadaverine because they produce the horrific smell of rotting dead bodies. More worrisome, they are also linked to higher risks of allergies and cancer. Another Monsanto GM corn has a new allergen, and their cooked soy has up to 7 times the level of known soy allergen compared to cooked non-GMO soy. That's from a researcher, an expert, doing their due diligence on what the new GMO stuff has. That's incredible. So, I mean, is it not just as likely that we're literally watching the fallout from the GMO push from Gates and everything else that has clearly destroyed the food supply in places like India? Yes. And the reality is what they've done to this food that is now ubiquitous, not just the food, but what they've done to the food supply and the seeds and God knows what else, is clearly creating allergens and creating the issues. I mean, and it's also just by the actions we're taking, as Corbett points out, like the reality of the peanut situation almost self-perpetuated a problem. But why did it start in the first place? Why is it literally against the law to bring peanuts to a school today? It's not a joke. Because on a dime, suddenly kids just couldn't accept peanuts anymore. That's not normal, and it clearly shows you what we're doing to ourselves. He goes on to say there is more. Injected genetic material, as in the COVID vaccine, can cause ripple effects. Jeffrey Smith writes, back in 1999, a study showed widespread changes in the DNA due to gene insertion. But many GMO companies conveniently ignored the findings and continue to do so. Now remember, we already showed you recent scientific study, peer-reviewed science, that clearly pointed out that just the spike protein can alter your genetic makeup. Forever. But no one cared about that. And that's called trusting the science. And this is what we are continually trying to tell you. It says, quote, in that study, scientists studying, and by the way, I've cited a bunch of studies today that I wasn't talking about today, but if you're interested, go back to the show I just did last, the last show I did. I don't always try to recite all the things I'm talking about just because I know that's frustrating people that have seen it all the time, but right here, no, this is the one we're doing now. Right here, self-spreading vaccines, self-amplifying mRNA vaccines, and COVID vaccine menstrual disruption. Of course, which was immediately banned on YouTube, despite the fact that it was me stating the realities of things that I can prove are present. Self-spreading vaccines have been researched long before COVID-19. Self-amplifying mRNA vaccines are clearly even discussed right now as the future, and vaccine menstrual disruption is something that's being reported all over the place. But of course, they don't like the truth, so they censor it. But I recommend you check that out for the studies we're discussing today. Very important stuff. Now, where were we here? Now, it says, in that study, scientists studying cystic fibrosis inserted a gene into human cells. Using a microarray, they discovered that the insertion, quote, significantly affected up to 5% of the total genes in the array. This means that the presence of a single foreign gene might change the expression of hundreds, possibly thousands of genes. In the case of the human cell being studied, the scientists were at a loss to determine the impact. In the absence of more biological information, they wrote, we cannot discern which directions genetic changes are better or worse, since any of these may have positive or negative effects. Getting the picture? That's science, right? Trust the science, right? No, we ignore that science because it doesn't say what we like. It says, and as huge numbers of severe, serious adverse events that we've seen reported, doctors reaching out to the CDC, this can't be normal, guys, and they ignore them. And deaths pile up from the vaccine, or at the very least happening after the vaccine, which, by the way, is absolutely absurd that we pretend like we know for sure that's not the case, despite there being plenty of evidence to suggest and proven realities to suggest that that's possibly happening. The medical establishment has twisted explanations on board, and we've seen this. Oh, well, if a person experiences severe discomfort at the vaccination, well, that's a good sign. It means the vaccine is working, which is one of the most dangerous medical misinformation comments that I've seen this entire time. Then you have people that wait because they don't think it's bad and then die. Well, that solves their problem for it, doesn't it? Then the next thing, if a person becomes seriously ill, he was attacked by SARS-CoV-2 and comorbidities, not the vaccine. Well, that's a great assumption to make. Isn't it funny how they make the assumptions and then err on the side of what they think when they want to, but when you have all the evidence pointing in a clear direction, they ignore that because they haven't proven it definitively? That's called hypocrisy, a double standard. And then it goes on to say, if a person dies, that too was the virus or an underlying genetic disorder, right? They just constantly sidestep. It says, I refuse to accept, among other lies, that the COVID vaccine forces cells of the body to produce exactly and only the same single protein every time. In every case, unless I see convincing proof. And why would we say anything else, guys? Why would we take at face value claims from a career liar such as Pfizer or any other company? It says, and I'm not talking about a study that takes test samples from a small number of patients. He's talking about thousands of samples from thousands of patients, which is called science, in case anyone forgot. It's been a while since we heard John Rappaport on the show. I always keep track. He does a great job. But remember, in this discussion about continuing to populate, right? Talking about a vaccine that doesn't just make one protein, but rather continues to make proteins. You know what that sounds like? Well, that sounds like exactly what they actually discovered first, self-amplifying mRNA. The use of RNA as a vaccine tool was discovered in the 1990s in the form of self-amplifying mRNA. Okay, well, you remember I just talked about this. Self-amplifying mRNA is the same thing as the mRNA vaccine, except it's SA mRNA. It is because, but the difference is, you guessed it, it doesn't only produce one, it keeps producing proteins. So ask yourself, if this is the first one they discovered, why is it they didn't use that? And why now are they framing this as the next step to these vaccines, even though it was the first thing they discovered? Something weird there. And maybe that's what we're currently dealing with. Maybe they tried to make it not self-replicating and they failed. I mean, there's a thousand things we should be asking if we cared about the truth. But they don't care. And what he seems to be describing is something that is very real. And I talked about it in the last show. As I said, self-amplifying mRNA vaccines. Take a listen, take a watch. We go over all the data. They've always been there. So it's weird that we see this shift happening. But talking about the myths and the idea of transmission, which is obviously a very important one. First, just to kind of go through this real quickly. Six myths about the COVID-19 vaccine debunked. Well, you'll find these not very debunked at all when you read them even remotely. The vaccines are dangerous, which, by the way, remember, what does dangerous mean? Able or likely to cause harm or injury. Able or likely, right? So something that's able to cause harm, you know, like a blood clot, is by definition dangerous. Doesn't mean it's always dangerous. Doesn't even mean it's usually dangerous. It just means dangerous, which means it can cause harm. Right? I love how we've completely altered the definition of words like herd immunity and vaccine in general. Next will be basically anything they need to alter, like it was paid out in vaccine court in the vaccine report. I'm blanking on the actual name for it, but you could look it up. It's where they funnel this stuff with your tax dollars to pay off things the vaccine companies don't have to pay off. So if it's harmed even one person, then by definition, it's dangerous. They say during clinical trials, right? So in trials that were rushed, combined, and skipping main important parts that didn't actually even look at the certain things we're asking about, like transmission, they say they were found to be exceedingly safe, with headache, fatigue, and arm pain reported as most common. Well, what about the people that died? Because there were some. They don't mention that, I guess. The fact that it's exceedingly safe, how do you even know that if they didn't do a proper trial? If we're still currently doing long-term studies all the way until 2023, that's because these people are just toeing the line, which means you shouldn't trust anything they say. blows my mind. The vaccines don't really work that well. They don't reduce virus transmission, they say. Well, it says most experts have been urging people to continue following public health guidelines, including, okay, wait a minute, even after they've been fully vaccinated, which doesn't suggest that it stops transmission, And after enough time has passed, they haven't answered the question yet. That's not a good sign that they are. That's usually a sign that they're going to kind of say yes, but not really say it and pretend like they said no. The reason for the recommendation is because Pfizer and Moderna vaccines have been shown to have 95% efficacy against illness. Ah, so you don't answer the question. The point is, we hope you misunderstand what that means and assume that means stopping transmission, because it doesn't. 95% effective against reducing illness, meaning that you show less symptoms, and no one's even proven that as far as I can tell. We just say, that lady just said, I got my vaccine and then I got COVID and I almost died, but they told me if I hadn't had the vaccine that I would have died. No, it means you're a childish believer of anything you're told. Really, dude? Like you almost died after it and you think that means it worked? I mean, how brainwashed you must be to say something like that. This is against disease, which means in their argument, it reduces your symptoms. You can still spread it. You can still catch it, which has been real world proven 10 times over. Israel, all over the place. Mainstream articles reporting about entire 8 locations where all these people got it right after 2 weeks and plus. Constant. But the point is, the experts are saying that the vaccines do not reduce transmission, but that's an inaccurate statement, one guy says. Okay, so wait a minute. Are we trusting the science and the experts, or are we just listening to whoever says what you want to hear? If the experts are saying that they don't stop transmission, but this guy disagrees, why are you pointing to that one guy? You see what I'm saying? Like, it's a choice. But here's what he says. He's saying that's inaccurate. Why? Well, because vaccines have always decreased transmission. And this is the same as the other? No. Different technology, different everything. So to pretend like because they've always, even though that's not true, by the way, seeing as how the flu vaccine regularly, 10, even lower percentage sometimes. So it's not true. They don't always decrease transmission. So he's either lying or is blinded by the propaganda. Pretty stupid, don't you think? But also to say that they have before, even if that was true, why in the world would you pretend that translates to this current experimental technology? Why? Because they don't want you to know that. And they want you to continue to pretend like it's just another vaccine. They tested it. We're good. They know what their talking points are. That's why they left that list, do's and don'ts. What they should be saying is that clinical trials were not designed for... Exactly. We chose not to look into it. And remember what Tal Zak said himself, that they would have if the government would have paid them to do it. I showed you on record. So the point is, we would have known whether or not it stopped transmission had they cared to check. Now, I wonder why they didn't check. Maybe because they knew what they would find. Now they can go, well, we don't know for sure, but most likely because this expert argues against it, blah, blah, blah. But guess what? There's every biological reason in the world to believe that they will reduce asymptomatic transmission. What does that even mean? Every biological reason? Well, first of all, the real world examples have shown clearly they're not. So that's stupid. Secondly, to argue that there's biological reasons historically is again pointing back to vaccine technology, which is not even in the same ballpark. Maybe he doesn't know that. But to say that it reduces asymptomatic transmission is, this shows you that this guy is either lying or is not even worth, he shouldn't, this is a guy that doesn't know what he's talking about. Because even Fauci in the beginning said that asymptomatics do not drive transmission of a respiratory disease. So the idea that we even pretend that there is still asymptomatic transmission, despite the study we pointed out that shows that doesn't exist, is ridiculous. But then to say that it reduces asymptomatic how do you even track that? These people are just liars or really stupid. And it's not hard to see when you just talk to a doctor that's not bound by the narrative. I'm not talking about some conspiracy fringe. I'm talking about a PhD or people like this that we've brought on the show that are highly credentialed and highly respected outside of the mainstream media. If you've already had COVID-19, you don't need to get the vaccine. I don't even care about that one. This is just about pushing their you need it no matter what narrative. But the variants are going to get in the way. Where was the last one? We're never going to get back to normal. Now, I thought there was one more that I saw. This was the main point, though. They're actually telling you, or maybe it was down here after what I read. Researchers swabbed, blah, 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 blah. The most convincing evidence, though, is we just started to emerge among real-world data, exactly which they're ignoring, because that data shows you clearly people are getting it after being vaccinated. In Israel, where more than 90% of those aged 60 and over have been vaccinated, because cases, they say, have plummeted in the population. Well, first of all, that's not even completely accurate. But even regardless, we're talking about a time when it was already going down before the vaccination discussion and the fact that we talked about that we're gaining the testing, lowering the cycle threshold, which will clearly show a decrease. The point is, regardless of whether you see a decrease in cases, that's not even answering the right point. People have been shown definitively to catch COVID-19 after being vaccinated. Not one, not two, hundreds of them. I wonder why they left that point out. Because they have an agenda, guys. Couldn't be more clear. But guess what? Even though they're trying to defend this argument, do COVID-19 vaccines stop transmission? Here's what the research says. They don't know. They keep giving you this long-winded, flowery response that basically means we don't know. But it means they do know, but they're just going to continue to say we don't know as long as they can to pretend like it does. maybe until they make something look like it does. But the point when you read this is they keep telling you that people don't know, that the government and the experts are saying, well, we don't know for sure, but we think it does based on some kind of explanation or narrative or assumption. Can COVID vaccines stop transmission? Scientists race to find answers. This is February, right? I think this one was from, these are all reasonably recent, March 4th. This is March 2nd. There's ones as early as April, right? Here's April 1st. Can vaccination stop COVID transmission? It's the question everyone wants answered because reopening the world depends on it, right? But they don't know. 21 universities across the United States are teaming up to find out. Isn't this what we should have known by the study? Every vaccine trial ever before this was all about two things: transmission reduction and reducing hospitalization. They just did this because it was the way they could push this out and lie to you to think that it was 95% effective at something you thought it was going to do, which was bring your life back and stop the trend. Nope, none of that. And they knew you would assume that. That's why they lied to you. It's pretty ridiculous. But what's interesting is you can see even on the FDA documents, the one I was just showing you, it says very clearly, the vaccine may not protect all vaccine recipients. Now, you could take that as, you know, just because of the one small percentage that might, which is how they're trying to frame it now, right? They're trying to say, well, I think that shows it in the next one, but there's always some people that aren't protected. By the way, they've never admitted that before, right? They're always err on the side of, well, it works for everybody because vaccines are great. And now they're admitting all these things because they're trying to keep this broken thing looking like it's working. Here's what the CDC actually says. Science brief, background rationale for evidence for public health recommendations for fully vaccinated people. Well, guess what? COVID-19 vaccines currently authorized in the United States are, you see, they leave out the point. They know their talking points. They're not supposed to say authorized for emergency use, even though that's the reality. In the United States are effective against COVID-19. See how they do that? Only severe disease. They're effective against severe disease. That's the point. So the way they put comma, including, that's meant to confuse you and make you think it's effective against transmission. That's not true. And even down here and after it, they say that. And in the next document too. They'll stop pretend like they don't know. That's a clear deception. If clearly effective against COVID, as we just showed you, implies that it stops severe illness. That's it. And that's all they say. So if you say that first and then go including what we just said a second ago, they know they're doing that. They want you to assume there's more to it. Pretty basic. Think about how childish and manipulative that is. This is the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that are knowingly misrepresenting the reality for whatever reason, because they think it causes vaccine hesitancy or whatever. Can't tell you the truth. Can't call it authorized for emergency use. Got to hide those things. Put on earmuffs because you're a bunch of children that can't deal with reality. Right? That's how they see this. Or they're lying to you because they're nefarious criminal sociopath. You choose. Probably both. But a growing body of evidence suggests that fully vaccinated people are less likely to have asymptomatic infection. So something that you don't even know that you have, right? Understand, because there's no symptoms. They're telling you that this thing is less likely, right? That if you get this thing, you're less likely to have that thing you won't know you have. Yeah, that works real well because you don't feel it. Well, it's working. It must be working because look, I don't even know. Well, you wouldn't have known anyway. Isn't that perfect? And potentially less likely, to transmit COVID to others. So potentially less likely. Meaning you can still transmit it. And they're just saying, we think so. Potentially, you might be less likely. Well, we don't know because we haven't proved it. And the scientists, as of right now, are still looking in to find out whether, you see what I mean? They know this stuff. It's potentially means we don't know. They'll never say that to you. But if it's potentially less likely, let's recognize even in their narrative, that means you can still spread it. You can still catch it. However, further investigation is ongoing. Of course it is, which means we're still testing it and yours being tested on. Modeling studies suggest that preventative measures such as mask use and social distancing will continue to be important. So good. Glad we're relying on those models instead of the science and random controlled peer-reviewed studies that have been done for decades up until now. But let's just model in the middle of a pandemic and pretend like that means everything. Everyone knows that's stupid. But what I'm really highlighting that for is the reality that even when you're vaccinated, they're telling you, don't worry, you still have to wear a mask and do everything else for the rest of your life. The risk of SARS-CoV-2 infection in fully vaccinated people cannot be completely eliminated. So there it is again. What is that? What is the metric there? What's how do you actually how do you put a number to that? You can't. Cannot be completely eliminated. Okay, that could mean that it's 90%. It could mean 1%. Who knows? That's why they do that. But it translates to you can still catch it. You can still spread it. But what they try to say is, as long as there's continued community transmit. Okay, so as long as we don't get vaccinated, that other person who's already been vaccinated can still catch it. Because that totally makes sense, right? So if they can still catch it, and it's only because I haven't gotten vaccinated, but then I get vaccinated, we're still at risk because of those that aren't. But what if everybody get vaccinated? What suddenly takes the risk away? Because he was still at risk before he got, but after he got vaccinated. So if we all get vaccinated, isn't they, are we all still at risk? Yes, guys, this is ridiculous, obvious information. It doesn't just stop being that way because other people got the vaccine. That doesn't stop it from spreading, right? This is just childish, nonsensical argument. Of course you can still spread and catch it because they keep telling you that. So whether or not we all get vaccinated, it's clearly still going to keep spread and you can still catch it. Of course, this is all hinging on the idea that this is even really what's happening. Of course, guys, I have not forgotten the reality that they haven't proven this has been isolated or haven't proven it's even actually there like they say it is. Yes, I know these things, but that does not help to continue to batter that down for people that are still lost in the narrative. Right? Understand, I get that. But understand also that just because they haven't proven that it's there or proven that it's been isolated does not mean that it's not there. Trust me, I agree with that under the sense that we haven't proven that. But it could also mean that they're just hiding something from us. Right? This is why I want people to recognize that we can't get so stuck on one thing like this. We have to continue to look into new information and look at it from an angle of whether or not this might be the reality. Right? That's always the case. But the point being is that I'm only saying that because I don't want people that are new to think that I'm arguing from within this whole, as always, for those that are new, the game is to argue from their narrative, right? Because it's easy to point out even from their narrative that they're lying to you. That's a powerful thing. Now it says, vaccinated people could potentially still get COVID. That's just the main line right there. Vaccinated people can still potentially get COVID and spread it to others, period. That's a sentence a lot of its own. There it is. Then it says, at this time, there are limited data on vaccine protection in people who are immune compromised. You remember when you weren't supposed to get vaccinated at all when you're immunocompromised? Isn't that funny how suddenly, because COVID, like, get it anyway, even though it won't work or maybe hurt you, but we leave that out. But then it says people with immunocompromising conditions who they just said doesn't seem like it might work, including those taking immunosuppressive medications that we haven't tested, by the way, alongside this thing, should discuss the need for personal protective measures after vaccination. So don't not get it, right? We know it might not work for you and we know it might be dangerous, but just get it anyway and then just bring your EpiPen or whatever, right? Like that's their argument is do it no matter what. Apparently everything everywhere is less dangerous than COVID-19, even though that's literally not true based on their own numbers. And they're telling you the risks that we don't know are worth taking for this thing that's not that dangerous to you. Does that sound like that makes sense to anybody? Now, what was the point in what I said, that's right. So in this document, you can see in here that they clearly say, and right, it says right, immunocompromised persons, including individuals receiving immune, it says right there, have a diminished response. But then it goes on to say in here that they have not compared this, might be down here, right here. There is no information on co-administration of the Pfizer vaccine with vaccines or other vaccines, as well as medications, right? They're both stated in here. I don't want to waste time finding them both. But the reality is, if they're telling you right there that they have not compared this or tested this with other medications or other vaccines, how in the world can they pretend that it's okay for you to take this when you're on medications for immunosuppressive issues? Or that you just got vaccinated for something else. You just came back from a trip overseas or whatever. And they're just saying, go and take it. We haven't tested, but that's not new. They haven't tested vaccines that they give you simultaneously. Things like the MMR vaccine, they haven't tested what they do alongside each other. And they act like we know that's going to be safe. Come on, guys. This is basic stuff. You all know this. That's why you're here. But here's another one. This one is specifically about, did I read that bottom part? Yeah. This is specifically about, evidence for people if you're fully vaccinated and what you can and can't do. This one is specifically saying what you should know about the possibility of COVID-19 illness after vaccination. So even further, this was April 2nd, my birthday. This was on April 22nd. A small percentage of people fully vaccinated against COVID will still develop COVID-19. So here's what they're trying to do. They realize that this is what they did here was admit that this doesn't work the way they're saying it does. So what they did now is narrative control. Now they're swinging back in again without really giving you percentages where it matters, trying to argue that it's only a small percentage. Okay, well then how much? Give me a graph. Give me some data. Even though you can lie about that too, give us something we can research. Just you stating it's a small percentage means nothing. You lie about everything. It says COVID-19 vaccines are effective, period. Don't you love how they start off? What does that even mean? Effective at what? Who sets that metric? Are they effective at preventing transmission? No, they're not. Are they effective at stopping you from being hospitalized? No, they're not. Are they effective at reducing mild symptoms? Apparently, I haven't seen that proven, but apparently that's enough to say effective. And it's also weird that they remove the word safe too. Isn't that interesting? Are they safe and effective? Apparently not anymore. But it says, however, a small percentage of people who are fully vaccinated will still get COVID-19 if they're exposed to the virus that causes it. So they still might catch it in a normal process, even though you're vaccinated, which means you can also still spread it when you're vaccinated, as they just admitted. So why then get it at all? Why get this thing if it's not actually doing anything other than they claim reducing your symptoms? Right? I mean, if the point is to stop this or herd immunity or all these things, it does none of that. Now we'll get to the other points about how it, you know, brings your freedoms back. And how does that make sense if you can still spread it? Why are you allowed then to do all these things if they just admitted you can still get people sick next to you? Because it's not about any of that. It's about making sure you get this and making sure you fall into line in the new biosecurity state control structure. It says, however, a small percentage, yep, read that. These are called vaccine breakthrough cases. We just talked about this, and we're going to reiterate that point again about the cycle threshold after this, because it's very important. Collective Evolution wrote an article about it. This means that while people who have been vaccinated are much less likely to get sick, it may still happen. What does much less likely mean? Right? What's the actual number? What's the reality here? They've lied to you about damn near everything. They've lied to you about a lot. Let's make that very clear. We know this. CDC has been caught lying about all sorts of things. There's that spider group in the CDC. Let me see if I can just grab that real quick. If that comes up, I think it was spelled with a Y. There's the group within the CDC that spoke out. Maybe that wasn't right. That spoke out and said the CDC is lying to you. Right here. Look at this. Oh, John Rappaport, all the way back then. CDC spider scientists attack the CDC, expose culture of collusion and cover-ups. I'll include this. I highly recommend you read this article. It says, this is from them. We are a group of scientists at the CDC that are very concerned about the current state of ethics at our agency. It appears that our mission is being influenced and shaped by outside parties and rogue interests. It seems that our mission and congressional intent for our agency is being circumvented by some of our leaders. What concerns us most is that it's becoming the norm and not the rare exception. Some senior management officials at the CDC are clearly aware and even condone these behaviors. I wonder why? Because they've been put there for a reason. Others see it and turn the other way. Some staff are intimidated and pressed to do things they know are not right. We have representatives from across the agency that witness this unacceptable behavior. It occurs at all levels and in all our respective units. These questionable and unethical practices threaten to undermine our credibility and reputation as a trusted leader in public health. Well, too late, right? There's so many discussions about the CDC, but the reality is these people tried to get your attention and the media didn't care because they knew who signed their checks. These are people telling you, just like I've told you before about the HHS calling them out and saying the CDC is a corrupted agency. Then what happened? They got those people out of the way and brought in new people, just like the OPCW. Right? They all 20 plus people scream and say, they're lying to you. Our report said none of that. This is all a complete fabrication. They just moved them out of the way and brought in new people and they act like now we're good again. That is a choice to continue to buy the narrative. They know it's flagrant. And so if we're trusting the CDC now, that is a choice. It says experts continue to study how common these cases are, so we don't know. Large-scale clinical studies found that COVID-19 vaccination prevented most people from getting COVID-19. That's simply not true. I mean, that is literally not true. Large-scale studies found that COVID-19 vaccination prevented most from getting symptoms. And I don't even know if that's accurate, but they have repeatedly stated that they do not stop transmission. That's why they're currently racing to find the answers, guys. So how ridiculous that the CDC themselves state that, hoping you misunderstand what they're saying. Research also provides growing evidence that mRNA COVID-19 vaccines offer similar protection in real-world conditions. You see what they're saying? You see what they're doing right there? They're pretending that these trials found that it worked. But now they're saying that research of what we've been doing on your bodies, real world conditions, shows us that it offers similar protection, or that the evidence, there's growing evidence that it might offer that protection. Good God. Meaning, one, you're being tested on, and they're admitting that, and two, that they still don't know. While these vaccines are effective, which doesn't mean anything based on what we're talking about, which is what they keep manipulating, no vaccine prevents illness 100% of the time. And here we go. When have you ever heard them make that claim? Right? I would agree with that at any point in time, but we've never heard that until now. Sort of like them admitting the flu vaccine is not very effective most of the time. That never was admitted to until now they need to make an argument for COVID-19. They're lying about things that they're now lying about and covering those lies. And this is how it continues to go when you lie about everything. For any vaccine, there are breakthrough cases. I mean, let me ask you this. When's the last time you even heard the term breakthrough cases? I argue it's a new term for all of us, because we're only just now being introduced with something that they've been hiding from everybody. The effectiveness of 90% or higher, and again, that's only in reducing mild symptoms. They'll happily leave that out. A small percentage of people who are fully vaccinated against COVID-19 will still get sick. You see, they don't say get it or not get it. They're going to say get sick, which means symptoms. That's all they're talking about. And some may be hospitalized or die. Oh, good. So let's rush out and get this experimental thing that doesn't seemingly do anything. It's also possible that some fully vaccinated people might have infections, but not have symptoms. Asymptomatic infections. Ugh. Good God, this is ridiculous. If you get COVID-19 after vaccination, your symptoms might be less severe. How would you possibly know? And why would you be getting COVID-19 after vaccination if it doesn't stop? It's very obvious, guys. But just trust them that whatever you're experiencing would be worse if you hadn't taken this thing. But how do you prove that? You never do. You never know. That's how ridiculous all of this is. But bringing this to the cycle special discussion, this is an article, which, by the way, I'm not a huge fan of the way they wrote this, because it's very clear that they're trying to dance the line and not get censored, and not just coming out and like thanking them for changing things that they did. It's clearly that's not what this was. But regardless, we'll talk about this. You can read this for yourself and you'll see what I mean. CDC specifies a PCR cycle threshold for vaccinated individuals. What does this mean? Now, we already talked about this. It says the CDC is requiring that clinical specimens for sequencing should have a PCR cycle threshold value of under 28 when conducting tests for vaccinated individuals. CT refers to cycle threshold. Now, the basic breakdown is, think of it like magnification. It's what it is. Every time you cycle forward, it increases the magnification. I think it's 100-fold or something like that. And the idea is that you continually get closer and closer and closer until you find something. Now, the argument is, once you go past a certain cycle, like 28 or 30, you begin to err on the side of finding something, even though there's not what you think you're looking for. To say it, you know, not very accurately, but the bottom line is, if you keep going, you'll eventually find something. And that's why once you pass 35, you're guaranteed to have an exponentially high false positive rate, which is what even Dr. Fauci has stated, which they reference in this article. And I mean, geez, it's only 10 seconds. I might as well play it for those that have seen
evolving it. Evolving into a bit of a standard that if you get a cycle threshold of 35 or more, that the chances of it being replication competent are minuscule.
Mm. Right. Very clear. Right, that was in the middle of 2020. And up until right now, still, they're using up to 40. Right? How is that possible? If Fauci can admit that replication competent would be, that it, I always mess that up. He says the competency would be minuscule, or however he says that. That basically means that if you go over 35, you're not going to find, you're going to get a false positive. Now it says it's been difficult to find what PCR cycle thresholds tests. Value tests have been used during the pandemic. That's actually not true. I'll show you in a second. And it's important because at a value of 35 or more, for example, an individual is more likely to test positive when they are not infected and do not have, and this is false positive. It's exactly what Fauci just stated. Now, it says, according to Stanford medical professor, Dr. J. I'm not going to try to hack his last name, Dr. J, PCR samples with a cycle count over 35 is a common lab occurrence. It is the truth. This means that if during this pandemic, this was the case, which it 100% is, we know this, the number of false positives could have been over 90%. Another doctor from Stanford, a medical professor. I guess he's fake news too. Until, you know, the fake news vaccine gospel comes after him, you know, he'll be real and respected until suddenly he's no longer fake, until suddenly he's a fake news, anti-science, science denier, or whatever they say, just because he admitted the reality. Meaning it says that vast majority of positive cases weren't really positive. It means the number of positive cases were not an accurate picture of how many people were actually infectious and capable of transmitting the virus. Dr. John Rappaport said this from the very beginning. This was and still remains a concern because cases all over the world are being used to set health policy. Stanford medical professor. So at what point do you, like, who gets dismissed as fake news? In the current COVID gospel world? Anybody who challenges the narrative. So this Stanford medical professor is crazy now because he says something they have decided is fake news. But I made this point on a show today, actually. Like, so if he says it's all fake, the vaccines don't work, blah, 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 they will attack him ruthlessly. But the next day, if he comes back and goes, you know what? I was just kidding. I made a mistake. I agree with you guys. Well, he would suddenly be real again. He would suddenly be a science. He would be part of the good guys. So it shows you that it's not really about anything other than the narrative. Because these people are doctors and they have a right to say these things. But it says, Dr. Anthony Fauci himself told This Week in Virology, which is what I just played for you, if you get a cycle threshold of 35 or more, the chances of it being replication competent are minuscule. Why then has our national testing standard never reflected this? Good question. That's what I keep asking. PCR providers should work with other labs to perform a random viral culture on these who received positive results to validate their test. Why would they not want to do that? Because then they wouldn't use the illusion in terms of being an indicator of infectiousness. Other states should emulate Florida in requiring laboratories to report cycle times to providers and to public health officials so they can provide better advice. No, because the more they cycle in, the more tests they get and the more positive percentage they get, and they get more funding. The World Health Organization didn't properly address this issue, it seems, obviously, until nearly a year into the pandemic. Yeah, what a little faux pas, right? No, this is the crux of the whole issue that they allowed to happen. Knowing this, because they even referenced it in this article. I've been constantly talking about the epidemic that wasn't. I'm sure we'll get to it. It's in here somewhere. But they reference the same article, the 2007 New York Times article that talks about their entire point for a 6-month illusion of an epidemic was because of an over-reliance on the PCR test. They admit that and say this is probably going to happen more in the future. So we have to realize that they know this. So Fauci says that's a problem and lets it go on for a year. They know this is an issue that they're using. We must see this. And the WHO allows it to go on. They know there's a reason they're doing this. My opinion seems pretty obvious to me. When they put a notice on their website, well, that's the last of the sentence, but it says they did, however, already make it clear that WHO guidance diagnostic tests for SARS-CoV-2 states that careful interpretation of weak positive results is needed, right? That's not all they said. That was the mainstream media gleaned response. What they actually did was, that's funny, I forgot. So, by the way, this document, which I'll show you at the same discussion, the instructions for use from the FDA, weirdly on the WHO, it's just no longer able to load. Isn't that funny? I wonder why that is. I wonder why they no longer have a working page that shows you that they're citing 40 cycle threshold. Isn't that funny? I'll show you on the FDA, though. That's why I included that, to show you weirdly that whole thing's gone now. But that's what they're saying. It says the cycle threshold needed to detect virus is inversely proportional to the patient's viral load. That is what they said. But then it goes on to be much more specific. And it clearly is calling out the reality that these things are, the higher you go, the more false positives you get. And it says, and look to the instructions for use, which is this, which, by the way, as of today, still clearly says 40 or under, which means they'll continue to go to 40 as the max, which means it's guaranteed between 35. They just said 90% false positives. This is the FDA document and what the WHO told people to go by in their supposed correction. No, they just continue to say go to 40. Quite telling. But it says, that being said, I still couldn't find what cycle threshold is being used in any part of the world. It's right there. This is what they're telling people to use. All right. Due diligence, guys. But then he says, you would think this type of information wouldn't be so hard to find. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know the answer, man. You're just airing. You're trying too difficultly, trying not to be the conspiracy theory. They're trying theorist. They're trying to make you out to be. Obviously, it's a no brainer. This stuff shouldn't be not hard to find. This stuff should be posted everywhere because we know, as even the WHO points out, that it's obviously completely controlling that issue. So if you go higher, it'll be higher. If you go lower, it'll be lower. And yet we don't cite this everywhere. Why did Florida make them post it? Because we know that there's an obvious correlation there. It's quite ridiculous. Goes on to say they are now specifying cycle threshold values for vaccinated individuals, right? So they have a very specific under 28 cycle threshold they're mandating for people that are vaccinated, but anybody that's not vaccinated is still being told to use, by the instructions for use, up to 40. I've talked about this more than once. I find this to be catastrophically important. This is huge. It's a choice. They're consciously choosing to keep a number that guarantees the number of cases will look high while doing a low number, which guarantees at the very least the number of those that are vaccinated with breakthrough cases will be accurate, if not lower, under what it should be. And maybe that's because they're not even really happening. Maybe it's because people are just actually continuing to spread this because it's not working at all. But it says the concern is the testing of vaccinated individuals with the cycle threshold is less likely to reveal false positives. Yet prior to the rollout of the vaccine, there was reason to believe that the cycle threshold was 35 or higher. It's not reason to believe. It's right there. They have it posted. As mentioned earlier, why all of a sudden change it for vaccinated individuals? Well, they didn't change it for vaccinated individuals. They just simply decided to post that anybody getting tested after being vaccinated needs to be under 28. Nothing changed. I guess you could say it like that, but the point is that this was clearly designed post-vaccination to alter the illusion. It says, does this mean that those who are unvaccinated will still be tested at a cycle threshold that is more likely to... Yes, it does, because it's still posted on the current instructions for use by the FDA. Now, there's more examples of it down. It goes on to cite this all over the thing so you can see it. But going forward, here's a Sears study showing that recovered patients who test negative and are non-infectious can still come up positive for COVID-19 repeatedly in the following months. And this is what we keep talking about. And this is possibly just because of the spike protein in the vaccine. Right? I'm talking about the vaccine. This is talking about COVID-19, but talking about on both cases that this could continue to be current and cause you to test positive, even when it's working accurately, understand. So that makes it even a higher chance of false positives. It says this means that 50 to 75% of the time, just because an individual is PCR positive does not mean they are actually sick. Pretty crazy. We know this though. The below comes from an anonymous source, but claims that 40 to 45 cycles are typically used in the UK. Yes. Not a secret. He says 35 and above, which is correct, 40 up to 40. Now it says the deputy medical officer of Ontario, Canada, Dr. Barbara Yaffe, stated earlier in the pandemic, COVID-19 testing may yield at least 50% false positives. That is coming from the deputy medical officer of the Canada. And yet we talk about this and it's fake news. This means that people who test positive for COVID may not actually have it. Shocker. In July, Professor Carl Hennigan argued that the proportion of positive tests that are false in the UK could also be as high as 50%. Add it to the list. So this is somebody from Oxford University. You know, that crazy fake news anti-science location, right? Former scientific advisor of Pfizer, Dr. Mike Yeadon, we've talked to, argued that the proportion of positive tests that are false positive could be as high as 90. Dr. Scoglio, PhD, said the same thing, upwards of 95%. As far back as 2007, Gina Colata published an article in the New York Times, and this is what I talked about, but declaring virus pandemics based on PCR tests can end in disaster. Apparently, we didn't learn our lesson, or maybe we did. Maybe they learned what they needed from this, and they're using it right now. That article was titled, Faith in Quick Tests Lead to Epidemic That Wasn't. I recommend you read it if you haven't seen me go over it 1,000 times. 22 researchers put out a paper explaining why, according to them, it's quite clear that the PCR test is not effective in identifying COVID cases. Or we've had Austria or other countries that have ruled in their court of law that this is not suitable. And that if it's being used, it's a criminal act. Here we are, though, allowing it to go forward because we are living through a massive psychological operation. But keep these documents so you can show people that when they're telling you to follow the instructions for use, they're telling you to create false positives. And according to the Telegraph, almost a third of recent COVID deaths in England and Wales were not caused by the virus as of today. Isn't that funny? Remember when we were saying that in the beginning and it was fake news and everyone's liable, censored and manipulated? How many of these do we need to see? I mean, like, I'm trying to think of even any of them. Literally everything people have been called, like the whole conspiracy theory community, whatever you want to call what they're naming it, people in the independent media. I mean, like literally everything we said was going to happen is happening. And yet we still have people that refuse to acknowledge how you're a bunch of crazy conspiracy theorists. It's just incredible to me. Nearly one third of recently registered COVID deaths in England and Wales are people who died primarily from other causes. Shock. I also remember that England was the one reporting that 60% of the people that died in England were people with disabilities. 60%. But it's not about eugenics, though, right? And we're not talking about disabilities that in any way contribute to a higher death, like comorbidities. We're talking about people with learning disabilities and people in wheelchairs. It has nothing to do with whether or not you get more sick in that regard. But clearly it somehow worked in England. You'd think you'd see a similar thing elsewhere, but you're not. So there's something going on there. But this shows you the illusion, guys, that they're just like they keep telling you, people that die within 28 days of a test, we're going to call it a death, no matter what. These people are getting a PCR test and either dying from something else or dying from other things they're dealing with, comorbidities. Increasing numbers of people who are underlying causes of death are not, it's basically, these are people that were already dying. They were in the, you know, heart disease or whatever else, and either are told they've got COVID with a test that has false positives, or they've got it somehow, or if you believe that's the case, and still the case is that they died from heart disease. They just name it COVID-19, which increases the numbers and increases the illusion, increases the threat that they want you to feel. But the point is that we have other ways to do this. This is the first of its kind, SARS-CoV-2 detection by partial N gene sequencing, now publicly available. Now, look, I'm not arguing that I don't trust any of this stuff right now. I don't know. God knows what they're trying to accomplish. But the reality is, if we're using a molecular test that's been shown, verifiably so, to not only create previous fake events, but to knowingly create false positives to a degree that we can measure based on what they're telling people to use for cycle thresholds, and not using genetic, you know, culture tests in a lab to prove this stuff, they're choosing to keep this going. Now, this is what they're trying to tell you based on that illusion. This is at least in Germany. Germany ponders new freedoms for fully vaccinated. So new freedoms, meaning things we're going to give you back that we had no right to take away. In fact, that they never really took, that you allowed them to convince you they took. Or maybe the threat of violence, which is certainly possible. In most of these cases, it's probably likely. So they're going to give you freedoms. Remember when this was a fake news story? This is a totalitarian biosecurity health cabal, or any other variation thereof. Like, these are a grouping of people that have taken control of your lives under the guise of fighting for health. It's a dictatorship. It's a health dictatorship. It's what this is. And they're now they've already removed things from you, and they're not going to dole them back out to you only if you take their injection that is currently unapproved and experimental. Germany is considering new plans to give extra rights. It's like they're framing it like you already have everything. Now we're going to give you free things. What can you give us? How can you give people more rights? You're going to allow them to fly? I mean, it's ridiculous what they're trying to frame this as. And freedoms. Right. So why even include give you are freedoms different than rights? It's like they're patronizing. It's just ridiculous. CNN is very good at being patronizing. They'll give you rights and freedoms and liberties to people who have been fully vaccinated against COVID-19. OK, so if you're fully vaccinated, you can still spread and catch it. What does that mean? The proposed changes to the existing pandemic rules would involve lifting certain social contact and movement restrictions. So if you're vaccinated, you can't go outside, you can't go to a party. But if you're vaccinated, you can, even though both of you are equally possible able to spread and catch. Are you confused? You shouldn't be. It's only about making sure this thing goes in your arm. It's clearly no different. They just admitted that. Inoculated and recovered people will no longer need a negative test if they want to go shopping or to the hairdresser or to visit a botanical garden, according to examples laid out by the German justice. But it just said recovered. So if you don't need a test, how do you prove you recovered? See, that's just, I bet you that was either an addition by CNN or something that they're lying about. I mean, however you want to look at it, I can promise you this is not going to be about people that they've already admitted that it's not about actual immunity that's about vaccine-induced immunity, if that is even really what's happening. Just like with Israel. I'm not a joke, guys. Israel is not allowing natural immunity. They need to have a vaccine and prove it to be able to go back to normal, as they're calling it, even though it's not. It's a vaccine apartheid. It says, with a few regional exceptions, which of course makes perfect sense, right? So it says people who live in Germany can travel, go abroad. You don't have to go quarantine anymore because you've been vaccinated, but unless you go over there. Okay, so is that location more dangerous? I thought the vaccine was the reason this was allowed to go forward. So why is that location more dangerous? Are they more at risk there? How are they still at risk if the vaccine's supposed to protect them? I mean, it's just so stupid in every possible way. The legislation now has to go through the lower and upper houses, so it might not even happen. Questions remain over how people will prove they've been had the vaccine and whether the possibility of losing the rules is confusing. Yeah, that's not a real question. What they're just trying to do is get you to ask that. How are they going to prove that? Well, we must need some sort of passport, right? They're hoping that you come up with the idea that they already have planned, the thing they're going to use to control you. So they're going to have to prove it in some way. And it's going to be some kind of wearable, some kind of vaccine passport. And the government's probably not going to force it, but all the businesses are going to be coerced into using it. It says vaccinated people will also be allowed to meet in private without restrictions, according to the plan. Okay, why? If he can still spread and catch it, how is that different than anybody else? But the mask wearing and social distancing will remain. Of course it will. Because the vaccine keeps you safe and you're all protected, except not from everybody else. Okay, what? And you still have to wear the thing. So the point is, the people that are currently resisting the vaccine, well, we're not doing any of this stuff anyway, because it's clearly not necessary. And the point is that the only people out there, like, you're creating this weird, you know, people are out there, they're trying to create a world where the vaccinated people are the ones free and running around. And it's not what's happening. They're the quiet, scared ones in the corner with their masks and 35 gloves on that are waiting for this to be told that they're safe, even though they got vaccinated. And people are out here without masks, walking around, going to the beach and going like, we're clearly the ones that are free right now. You know, and the point is, they're going to try to turn this around to make a situation where we are criminals for doing so, and then remove us from the situation so those people with their masks and their gloves can go outside and pretend they're free as they do what the government tells them to. But this is giving you freedoms. That's what they're trying to frame this as. Unbelievable. Vaccine discussion. Now, I'm going to try to rattle through these reasonably quick as we're already on 2 hours here. Doctors around the world unite to call the COVID vaccines unnecessary, ineffective, and unsafe. This is not new. There's been a constant onslaught of groups and doctors and Nobel laureates and PhD, I mean, just across the board, that have continued to speak up. Entire organizations, the frontline doctors, Doctors for COVID Ethics, they're all coming out. And these are highly credentialed experts. And just because they're in a group that they don't like, they deem them debunked and conspiracy theory, because that's what children do. Don't actually engage and just dismiss what they don't like. These people have a right to speak on this stuff. And if we're having doctors all around the world, this has gone quite a far stretch away from, you know, some fringe, that fringe doctor and the weird YouTubers. That's the way they still try to frame this. Susan Wojcicki's, oh, the people in their basements. Like, guys, grow up. With that, we are so far past that absurd fallacy. Is there people in their basement out there doing work? Probably better than the mainstream media. That doesn't mean that anybody out there that's talking about stuff and doing their research is just some fringe weirdo in a basement. Clearly, we have doctors and experts and people all over the world. So how do you not see, if you're buying this, that they're at the very least lying to you about the actual debate? I mean, it's incredible. But don't worry, though, because we're making new vaccines already. Not a joke. CureVac says well on the track to request vaccine approval. But ask yourself this. One, I can almost promise you it won't be approval. It'll be an emergency authorization. And this article is probably, I would argue, that's probably what they're going to ask for, but they won't get it. Or if they do, ask yourself how they can approve another experimental vaccine at a time when we still haven't even gotten past the emergency authorization for ones with the same technology. Because that's what this is. Germany's CureVac is on track to file for European approval of its vaccine as early as this month, because high infection rates among the trial participants are bringing readout efficiency. So again, we're just trusting what the company says about how great this thing is, because it's not like they have profit to think about. Starting out in 2000, the biotech firm is focused on so-called, guess what? Messenger RNA. Shocker. A drug and vaccine. This is the idea that, again, we are already working on new variations of something that is yet to even be approved. How do we know this won't drop dead in 2 years? We don't. Now, do I have any reason to think that's going to happen? No. I mean, actually, technically, yes, to be completely honest. But the point is, we don't know. And the idea that we don't know is what these things are supposed to be for. But yet we're already rolling out new vaccines and new experimental variations of nanotrial, all this different stuff. This is a drug and vaccine technology that has also become the recent focus. Of course it has, because we're going to alter evolution with nanotechnology in 20 years, right? The mRNA approach has been validated by a wide use of coronavirus vaccines developed by Pioneer. Look at that. They're actually claiming this has already been validated. The unapproved multiple variations of this that's currently hurting people to one degree or another. That's an easy thing to state. By definition, dangerous, because it can cause harm. Norway has proved it. It's a fact. Verified. Confirmed. It caused blood clots, as well as the rest of AstraZeneca, J&J, the through-the-roof adverse events coming from Pfizer. Validated? Pathetic. This is Reuters, by the way. But they say it's been validated by Pfizer or by Moderna. But more volumes will be needed, excuse me, to boost lagging immunization coverage in Europe. So we're going to emergency authorize another one. As long as we get mRNA in your body, right? Who cares? World's most vaccinated nation activates curbs as cases rise? Well, that's quite interesting. Maybe that's because they're telling you that it doesn't stop transmission, even as they pretend it will give your life back. This is crazy. The most vaccinated nation, meaning the highest vaccination rate in regard to COVID-19, and cases are going through the roof, according to Bloomberg. As Dr. Sherry Tenpenny points out, get in the picture now. You get it? Right? This is reality, that we're seeing cases surge in places that are doing everything they're telling you they should. Places with the highest mask and highest social distancing and highest quarantines and all of this stuff are some of the worst places right now. And in fact, you look at the places like Florida and Sweden and wherever else that aren't, what do you know? Quite the opposite. Now, if the media had even a modicum of honesty left, they would report that to you. And they could say, well, we don't know why. Maybe there's other caveats. There could be a reason why. Maybe it's not because it's working. But sure, you could say all those things, but you'd report it as the reality, because it is what's happening. We don't know why. I think we do. But this is doing better. This one's doing worse. And here's what that one's doing, and here's what this one's doing. That's just a simple fact, but the media have hidden it from you. Every day, there's obvious realities of how clearly dishonest these people are. Toby Young points out, rumors that a third COVID vaccine dose will be rolled out later this year have been confirmed by plans to offer over 50s, you know, the ones that are actually at most risk, more vaccine before Christmas. Right. So we know that the most vaccinated place on the planet is currently having a huge rise in cases, and that we know that it won't stop its spread. We know that all of these things are completely being shown to be absolutely unfounded, and we're just going to roll out another vaccine. Now, ask yourself this. If the vaccine is working, why do we need another one? Right. So if the people who got the vaccine doses twice are supposed to be protected, and Germany's already going, yeah, go back to your life and you could do what you want, but not you unvaccinated people. Why do you need a third dose? Why do you need a booster dose? Doesn't that inherently imply that it's not working the way they should? That's obviously what it means. But they just, you can't. People who have taken the vaccine gospel to heart, even if they believe that, would never utter it aloud, because that would cause vaccine hesitancy. But this is the reality. Excuse me. Las Vegas teenager undergoes 3 surgeries to remove blood clots after receiving J&J vaccine. Right. Sure, I'm sure glad they ran that back out again. Thanks, Fauci. Thanks, everybody who reapproved the vaccine after your careful consideration for a week. Well done. I think that was an obvious ploy, to be quite honest, but didn't save this woman. Didn't save this girl, right? She's their chess piece to be played. Pfizer expects to apply to the FDA in September. Guess what? For emergency authorization. So still continuing to expand the emergency authorization to administer the coronavirus vaccine to children ages 2 to 11. The company just said this in Wall Street Analysts, or speaking to Wall Street analysts and reporters on Tuesday during its quarterly earnings call. Not a joke. Here's the New York Times. Pfizer says it will seek clearance in September. You see how they don't say emergency authorization? Damn liars. New York Times knows their marching orders. They know what they do and are not supposed to say, which shows you they're not really journalists. In September, for its vaccine to be used in children 2 to 11, they have a 0% chance of being sick, or let's just say from dying. 0%, which means they're not at risk. So if they've got a 0% chance, according to the CDC, if they can still spread it and still catch it regardless, according to the CDC, why are we giving them, if after the vaccine is the point, why are we giving them this thing? I mean, you could pretend there's a 0.001% risk of blood clots. That is still more risk than 0%. Now, more specifically, we know that the risk of blood clots is quite a bit higher than that, especially in regard to the different vaccines and so on. But if you have a 0% chance, we're giving children a risk for no reason. We already have a 2-year-old that died in a trial for this. And we've had other children die outside of this, even though they're not supposed to be giving it to people under 16. Ask yourself how that's happening. This is sickening to me. One, we don't need these for children, so why don't we need to be testing it on them? But to emergency authorize it for people that don't need it, who aren't at risk, is clearly about something much more than keeping these kids safe. In fact, it's very clearly putting them at risk. And he also, this is the one that he links beneath that. It says, this is a gross criminal negligence by our government and government agencies on an unprecedented and extraordinary scale. Governments now serve the arm of corporate power. Nothing new there to me. Nothing more. Children as sacrificial lambs of capital and biotech experimentation. The small print from Pfizer. Here's what it says. Reading from the sentence here, it says, this release contains forward-looking information about Pfizer to combat COVID-19. And it goes on as the development, including qualitative assessments. Oh, that's all in there. That's interesting. So I'm just going to read the whole thing. The release contains forward-looking information about Pfizer's efforts to combat COVID-19, the collaboration between biotech and Pfizer to develop COVID-19 vaccine, the BNT162 mRNA vaccine program, the Pfizer biotech COVID-19 vaccine, including qualitative assessments of available data, potential benefits, expectations for clinical trials, the potential of BNT162B2 for adolescents 12 to 15 years of age, evaluation of BTN162B2 in children 6 months to 11 years old, the anticipated timing of regulatory submissions, regulatory approvals or authorizations, and anticipated manufacturing, distribution, and supply involving substantial risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those expressed or implied in such statements. Involving substantial risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ, right? So this is Pfizer again. Remember Pfizer, the group we keep telling you, the Pfizer group that is responsible for continuing to lie about these things? Right? That they have billions of dollars paid out specifically for lying about false claims or safety, right? Safety related offenses. Or the fact that the study itself, as I've showed you a million times, this is the important one as it relates to what we're talking about. In 2010, they say that Pfizer has been a habitual offender, persistently engaging in illegal and corrupt marketing practices, bribing physicians, and suppressing adverse trial results. Well, that sure seems relevant, doesn't it? Well, here they are talking about how the uncertainties at risk could cause actual results to differ. So they're going to test on children at a time when we have risks and uncertainties. Sure makes sense, doesn't it? Pfizer Biotech announced positive top line results of pivotal COVID-19 vaccine study in adolescents. Why is anybody anywhere allowing this to happen? I can't even believe this is we're in a world where people are not burning things down because they are literally testing experimental drugs on your children in the real world setting. And by the way, I'm not asking for people to commit violence. That wasn't what I mean as an analogy or a phrase, but I can't believe people aren't flipping out by this. Here's something that would blow your mind. Did you know almost 4,000 children have been vaccinated for COVID-19 in the States? You can look this up by checking Veyers for yourself. The reality that 4,000 children have been vaccinated, and we're not talking about trials here, guys. It shows you very clearly that they are doing this at a time when they're not allowed to. Here's the FDA document right here. Where I had it up and then it scrolled down. So I don't know how that just happened. Hold on. right here. Pfizer biotech vaccine is authorized for use in individuals 16 years of age or older. And they make this very clear. Capital mandatory requirements. Mandatory. They have not tested under 16. They're currently doing that, if they're trying to anyway. But you realize what they're doing is trying to authorize this right now. Or it's technically at the end of March, right? It's already, so they either started or they're beginning it, right? And the reality is 4,000 children have already been vaccinated. I mean, this is the same idea as arguing, as I keep telling you, that they're telling you in this document that you must, absolutely must, inform these people of the fact that it's unapproved. The unapproved Pfizer vaccine, it says it right here very clearly. They must communicate the individual receiving this vaccine that it is consistent with the fact sheet prior to this being given. And the fact that, that's again, this one they just removed, which is fantastic. I showed you this in the past show, so you'll remember that. But in any case, what they're saying by doing that, which is just ridiculous, by making sure that it's consistent with the fact sheet for the caregivers, that's what this is. We're talking about the reality of the fact that it is not authorized, not approved, only emergency authorized. So the point is, how is it possible that we're giving it to children when it's not allowed to be given to them? Or how is it possible that people are being told that this is an approved vaccine, despite the fact that Pfizer's document mandates that it must be clear that it's not? These things aren't happening. They're testing on pregnant women. They're giving pregnant women the vaccine without question. They're giving children the vaccine because their mothers ask for it. They're telling people it's approved or not informing them that it's not, because you ask on Twitter right now, anyone that got vaccinated will argue to the death that this is an approved vaccine. So clearly they're not being informed like the Pfizer document made clear. So out of 4,000 children, 9 died within 28 days. 7 almost died, 3 permanently disabled, 71 had to see a doctor and were admitted to a hospital and had their stay prolonged. Why isn't this headline news? I think we know why. And links and information you can check for yourself. Guys, this is incredible. Canada authorizes Pfizer COVID vaccine for kids under 12 or 12 and up. So Canada decides to do that, but Pfizer keeps saying no, 16 or older. Does that make sense? Did Canada conduct its own trials? I don't think so. So they're just choosing to do that. Is that called trusting the science? Apparently, it's more like trust the dogma. It's trust the vaccine dogma. Vaccines are good no matter what. And if you say otherwise, you're a crazy anti-science conspiracy theorist. So of course we're going to give it to children because they need it, because we're all going to die. Pfizer's over here saying no, 16 or older. They don't care because vaccine's good. Is Pfizer now anti-vax? Isn't that interesting? Pfizer expects vaccine will be durable revenue stream as it seeks approval for children 2 to 11. I wonder why. Because then it will be mandated on children vaccination schedules and it's going to be given to every child forever. That's a guaranteed profit motive. And again, this was just the point to show you that they're telling you 16 or older. Now, Dr. Naomi Wolf points out, Dr. Fauci admitted today on the 4th that 32% of Americans have had the first vaccine, which contradicts what the media is saying. The media is saying 42%, or the CDC, and they're reporting that. Isn't that funny? No data in both vaccines, meaning almost 7 out of 10 Americans have chosen to not get this. Who are the actual outliers? They want you to feel like the weird fringe conspiracy theorist, but the reality is the majority of Americans are on your side. 60% of nurses have said no. 60% of Marines, a third of the military, are saying we're not going to get anywhere near this thing. And they want you to be the weirdo. They want to pretend you're the outlier. No, the majority have said no. 7 out of 10 Americans. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? That is the majority showing its face, guys. But they're desperate. They want you to think that you're going to miss out, as Biden says, use it or lose it. He's going to start taking vaccines from the states that aren't using it. Oh no, don't take the thing we don't want. This is just about continuing to pressure people and manipulate you into thinking that you're going to lose out if you don't get it now. Like we're a bunch of kindergartners. Like, it's just ridiculous the way that they treat us and the way that they act. They really think that we are just that stupid. Maybe it's because of their over reliance on a system that was designed to make us stupid. Maybe we're just smarter than they think. But in any case, it's pretty depressing and they are floundering. They are desperate. and are doing things that I can't believe. Detroit is now paying $50 to anybody who convinces somebody else to get vaccinated. How alarming is this? Like, if, I mean, do you realize how crazy it is that they're just flat out bribe? They're going, we're going to pay you to get vaccinated. How does that possibly translate into something that is in any way safe or any way? I mean, this is crazy. They're trying to argue that these fringe weirdos that they're acting like are a bunch of basement dwellers are somehow overtaking the entire propaganda machine of the U.S. government and somehow able to force in their anti-vax propaganda over massive scientific truth. Does anybody actually believe that? Some people must. The reality is that truth tends to shine through, especially when it's this compelling. So what's really happening is we're pointing to the science. We're showing you that they're lying and they're losing because all they can do is say fake news, anti-science. He's a conspiracy theorist. That's all they have. That's literally all they have. And so they're going, here's $50. Is that good now? How about 100? You want to take this vaccine? Here's a Krispy Kreme. Here's a beer. Please. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like, I am embarrassed as an American that we're even, this is just crazy. But it gets worse. It gets much worse. High school bribing students to get this vaccine, even though, by the way, most of them are under the allowed age, but who cares, with graduation credits. Now, I guess you could argue that that means that they're over 16, but regardless, they're bribing people with things they're supposed to earn, you know, for society and all and their credentials and college. But no, we're going to give you those things as long as you get this experimental injection. Guys, there's no way to misunderstand how nefarious this feels. This is so, like, you realize how incredible, they're telling you that something we are all supposed to hold in high and, you know, revere, you know, the fact that we got to work hard and earn your education and get out there, but we're just going to give them to you. Just go get vaccinated and then suddenly you're going to graduate. Cool. Now, clearly it's not the, like an F student would get, who knows though? I mean, I wouldn't put it past them, but they're simply telling you that they will give you things you did not earn because you get this thing that is dangerous and clearly experimental by the definition of the words, guys, and by admitted by the NIH, which also, by the way, means that this is coercion and against the law. And hopefully the principal, the teachers involved, the administration, all go to jail for putting children at risk. But I doubt that will happen in the COVID clown world. But here is what's happening. Victor's heart became weak days after getting his COVID vaccine and ended up being hospitalized in the ICU with blood clots in his arms, legs, and lungs. All of this took a large toll on his heart and unfortunately gave out. That's a real story from a child clearly under 16 who got the vaccine because of God knows why. I mean, it's sickening to me that this is the reality, that the fact is that these people are getting exactly what we keep telling you about. Blood clots, arms, legs, lungs. All this is exactly what Dr. Bakhti was talking about. Days after getting the vaccine, and they're going to tell you that we can't prove it, so it's not the case. And these are this, and we're going to coerce children into getting this thing. Well, physicians and surgeons call on universities to reverse their mandates all around the world. Doctors are speaking up, physicians and surgeons, and they are adamant. And so are we supposed to pretend that these are all anti-science fringe conspiracy theorists? No, these are actual surgeons and physicians and scientists that are speaking up and saying this is wrong. Even some of them that clearly think the vaccine is probably a good idea, but they're willing to argue that forcing this, mandating this is simply wrong. And we all know that. They don't care. But the fact is, again, it's an experimental, unapproved vaccine. So the idea that you can mandate this at all is a crime. And I don't understand why. Like, here's the point. You think these schools don't know that? Do you think the government doesn't know that? The law is plainly clear. Okay, so if a school is going to mandate anything, I would argue they give it to their legal department or they talk about it, right? They have things that they have to go through to make sure that they're not putting themselves at risk. I mean, these places run like companies these days. So the point is, they know this, but have clearly decided that the government is okay with it because COVID danger. So they push it because they're aligned with the agenda, the COVID gospel. Will Massachusetts impose coronavirus vaccine mandates for teens? Apparently, possibly. Charlie Baker leaves the question open. So here we are in the United States, where a state is literally deciding whether or not to mandate this for teenagers. Like, you're not going to mandate it for adults, but you're going to force it on the group that's literally at the least risk. How does that even possibly make sense? Because there's much more happening here than we want to admit. But here is what the frontline doctors want you to know. Now, I don't care what you think about this group. What this states right here is 100% accurate. The law is clear. An experimental vaccine cannot be mandated. We want you to be armed with resources to advocate for yourself and your loved ones. Here is a letter template to utilize related to your employer or school attempting to mandate the COVID-19 experimental vaccine candidates. Please edit the portion in red specific to you and distribute. Send the principals, superintendents, departments of education, officials, managers, corporate officers, etc. Put everyone on notice. Send on your own or unite with other signatures in support of your movement. Informed and united people are truly the greatest threat to tyranny. Absolutely. It's a great resource. I highly recommend that you all do this, because this is what we need to do. Because there's no way they can. I actually was on James Airy's podcast, I think, this morning, and we talked about this exact thing. And this, what they asked this question, I wish I would add this in front of me, because this is the perfect example. Here is how you fight back, because they are telling you have to do this to be able to have this job. They're committing a crime. And this isn't like the mask discussion. This is a solid, foundational, cemented crime. You cannot mandate experimental products. You can't. And you show them this on documentation, and you tell them that if you're making this is a crime, I'm going to take this to somewhere and report this. They might think twice about it. Or at the very least, quietly give you an exemption, which shows you they're hypocrites. But whatever. The point is that you should not have to be forced to do this. And I already showed you this again, kind of bringing this around to the point where we have the only system, the main system, where people are supposed to be reporting these. I say only because the other things we're talking about are not even close to what this is. But they're telling you to report here. If you talk to any doctor, they're going to tell you to go to VAERS. So then we pretend like VAERS is this debunkable, unverified thing, but that's where they tell you to go. It's completely organized. It's meant to be that way. It is designed to be dismissed. But the reality that General Dynamics is now running this, a defense contractor, clearly they care about your health, right? I mean, I don't really fully understand what it means to have General Dynamics running this, other than the possible tie of what Whitney was talking about and the idea that we're blending national security with health security, whatever health security even means. And that's what this looks like to me. But also to recognize the point that I was just referencing before, Dr. Peter Maloney points this out. Pfizer received the biggest fine in U.S. history of $2.3 billion in 2009 for bribing doctors and suppressing event results. That's what I read that study from. And it got a lot of spread. And I'm just like, okay, it's good. Let's get it out there. But as I said, yep, been trying to draw people's attention to this since the very beginning of the pandemic. Here is a link to the full breakdown of all the violations, all 4.6 billion of them, right? Like, it's funny that we know all these things, and it just takes a certain person to point it out in the right position. And, you know, even then, it's still not going all the right places. We need to know this. The average person has no idea about this, especially those that took the vaccine. But don't worry, though, because Biden says it's going to be easier than ever, right? Oh, so was it hard before? Was it difficult to get that? No. If you can get it at the Walgreens and the Waffle House and the bar, you know, and get a free donut, I'm pretty sure it's the easiest it's literally ever been. So him saying this is meant to make it sound like it wasn't that nobody wanted it. It's that we're now, it's because we did our bad, as always, incompetence instead of criminal. They will pretend that we just screwed up. We want to hide from you that you guys all know that we're lying. So we're going to pretend like it's only now we're going to make it easier. But I love how he also says vaccines.gum and says it twice.
Let me repeat, we're going to make it easier than ever to get vaccinated. Visit vaccines.gum, or
I'm sorry, that's just silly. He says it, vaccines.gum, vaccines.gum, and he says it again right afterward. It's just ridiculous. And that's an embarrassing part for me too, what this country is looking like right now. But so now we've got a website where you can like go and look at vaccine. I mean, it's ridiculous to pretend like this is anything other than pretending that we're doing something to continue in a different angle to force you to do this thing. Well, Biden announces a new goal of administering at least one vaccine shot to 70% of adults by July 4th. Why at least one? Aren't they adamant about the fact that only two is what gets it done? As I could show you again, but you can read it for yourself in that FDA document. They're adamant about it. Cannot mix them. Must be both shots. 2 weeks apart. They're very clear. And that's under the mandated must happen part of the section. So I guess now, is it now one works according to Biden? No, get it in their arms. Get it in their arms. That's what this amounts to. We're going to get at least one, just at least one. Well, okay. Well, they're telling you it doesn't matter. It's get served to get you sick, but doesn't have the result. Okay. So what, why then say one? It's just, it's ridiculous to me how obvious this stuff is. Biden says, there's one fact I want every American to know. People who are not fully vaccinated can die every day. So wouldn't that then immediately imply the people that only have one shot? Yes. So he only wants you to get one shot, but then he follows that up by saying, but that person there will probably could still die. The reality is that everybody can, because you can still catch it. You can still spread it according to the narrative. So why is it that he wants the only fact to be that this half of the group that can still die from COVID, I want you to know that that half can. We're not going to talk about the other half. It's just, it's intentionally deceptive. They all can, because they can all catch it, still spread it, whatever. This thing, in fact, only adds more risk as far as I can tell. Just weird. But of course, all they want to do right now is undermine your personal choice. The Atlantic writes, well, millions are saying no to the vaccines, right? Because it's funny how they'll admit that when they want to undermine your position. But when the Biden's talking about it, no, we just have infrastructure problems. No, we're all saying no. And that's why only 3 out of 10 people have gotten this thing so far. But they're saying millions have said no. What are they thinking? Great journalism. Don't even write opinion piece on here. This is just solid reporting, right? Literally in the title, attacking someone's position because you already know the reality in your mind. All this article is repeating the narrative, acting like what conspiracy theorists think is so crazy, and you're putting us all at risk. How are they possibly doing this? Well, it's because there's too much fake news out there. This might be 1,000 other articles written in a different way. It's the same BS. But what happened to the reality that we get to choose? Isn't that what this country's all about? Isn't that what we were used to pretend? My body, my choice. Well, none of that matters to these same people. What are they thinking? How dare they make their own mind up? So it either means that that was never the truth, or these people are just flimsy, fly by the, what do they call it? Fair weather political, or fair weather pundits. They just blow where the political winds blow them. I care about climate change. Oh, now I'm wearing 30 masks a day. Who cares? You know, it's like, and again, that's not even to argue that I have an opinion in regard to climate change. The point is that they are the people that scream that we're all going to die because of the climate, and then continue to do the most catastrophic thing for the environment, which is use 10 masks a day and 30 pairs of gloves and whatever, and just destroy the planet. As health organizations were saying back in June of 2020, that we were going to ruin everything if we didn't act immediately, and nobody cared. Not even those people. But as James Lyons Weiler points out, here is Governor Inslee saying, basically adding a section for only the vaccinated. As James points out, whites only, anyone? We've been here before. This is offensive, wrong, and not based on science. It's simply not. Because remember, they can still spread it. They can still catch it, according to the CDC. So how does it make sense to have a only vaccine section? Well, it's because you're trying to incentivize people to get the injection. It says he announced Monday that venues in Washington state are now allowed to have vaccinated sections to increase capacity. Right. So the point is you're going to allow them, right? Suites can be filled to 100% if they show proof of vaccination. So is the fact that they're packed in there because they've got a piece of paper on them mean that they won't still be able to spread it? No, not at all, as the CDC just said. So does Inslee care to explain why that's any different than people who aren't vaccinated? No, it doesn't matter. Just get the vaccine and we'll let you do what you want, or until we pretend the next thing happens. Well, as even the Israeli media is pointing out, that's what's already happening in Israel. The apartheid of vaccines, the Israel vaccine apartheid. It is a separation between the haves and the have-nots. They have park benches and beach lake chairs with vaccinated only written all over it. It is literally everything we said we were not. Happening all over again. But there are good things happening. We see COVID-19 lockdown rebel win in Madrid. Doesn't mean they're going to do what they said, as they're clearly wearing masks, which is ridiculous, but they are people that are saying they're not going to push the restrictions and so on. So we see a political shift in that regard, but we can see that they're literally cracking down on anybody that's trying to make some kind of a movement in regard to these discussions. Big Brother Watch points out that Kill the Bill, a group that's working to kill legislation that's restricting people's rights, working with, I'm suddenly blanked on his name all of a sudden. I just look at this. Jeremy Corbyn. I just remembered it. So I see him speaking and working with this. Of course, they don't like him. Of course, they don't like anybody that challenges the general status quo. But Kill the Bill, grassroots campaign group, it says, which is organizing opposition to the government's draconian new police prime sentencing courts bill, had gotten their count suspended twice with zero justification. I mean, they're not spreading fake news. They're simply saying this is a group that's fighting against these government actions. You see where we are right now? If you oppose the government action of lockdown, now you're a fake news, anti-science conspiracy, and we're going to be censored. But wait a minute. Now we can't even argue that legislation, what happened to our rights to go and politically make our point? No. Well, now you can't politically make a point. That's fake news conspiracy theory. You see where this is going? It's not just about COVID-19, guys. They're going to create a world where we cannot speak our minds outside of the chosen narrative, or you get a mark on your special watch, or you can't come on the bus that day, or they're going to create a world where you're shut off completely. Before we get there, it's simply going to amount to you being censored and controlled. You cannot stand up and say this legislation is wrong in COVID world. Not anymore. It's crazy. As a high wire points out, more ridiculousness. It says it's like Footloose, only not fiction. No joke. Now of all times where people are reducing these things, the DC mayor bans dancing at weddings. It's just stupid. There's no scientific merit to any of this stuff. As Denis Rancourt points out, to this tweet, it says, should I wear a mask when I'm jogging or walking outdoors? Mask on when you're active outdoors. They're literally telling you to wear a mask in a situation where you're at the least risk of anywhere you could possibly be, outdoors, in the middle of somewhere running, and at a time when the mask is verified to cause an increase in blood oxygen, or decrease in blood oxygen level, an increase in carbon dioxide. All of these things have been scientifically proven more times than I can count in previous random controlled trials. By the NIH, by the British Medical Journal, before COVID-19, very clearly cited measurable reductions in blood oxygen level. But apparently that doesn't matter to the science in Canada. As he says, you're incompetent. At best, several studies find virtually zero transmission outdoors. No studies have ever established transmission outdoors in controlled field observations. Does science mean anything to you, right? They don't care. It's about the gospel and the dogma, and they know that. Finally, just to really quickly point this out, because it's not worth the time. This is a study that I went over in regard to an individual who worked at Stanford saying, face masks in a COVID-19 era, a health hypothesis, and they go over all the stuff we cited. Now, I went through the citations on this, and I show you how they cite other random controlled trials. And you know, one of the arguments in here is they misquote this or they frame it the wrong way. Well, okay, now we're getting into semantics, first of all. The Lancet's been called out for doing that 100 times over, and they're still up. The point is that regardless of whether that's true or not, what they point to clearly makes the case for them. They point to the British Medical Journal that cites the increase in bacteria and infections are obviously making cloth masks dangerous. That was in 2015, and no one's followed that up. That's the only random controlled trial from the British Medical Journal. Or the fact that the ones I just told you from one, the British Medical Journal, one from Oxford, one from the NIH, that all clearly show you that there are issues in hypoxia, hypercapnia by wearing a mask. They cited all this in the study. But here's what happened. Retracted. Why? Not because the person retracted, not because of other peer-reviewed, just because the editor of this platform stepped in and made a unilateral decision. Do you see what's happening? Is this called trusting the science, or is this called controlling the narrative? It says this article has been retracted at the request of the editor-in-chief. Why wasn't it peer? Why wouldn't you give it to a peer-review process and allow other scientists and doctors to consider it? Why? Because you might not get the response you want. It says the editorial committee concluded that the author's hypothesis is misleading. So now, not only you understand that this got published because it already got reviewed, because this is something that has already gone through the process. And now they don't like how it's making them look bad, they probably think. So they're going to fall back again and reevaluate it. And so they brought a review of existing scientific evidence, a broader review. So we decided to look at other studies that you didn't reference. That's what that means. So the models the CDC did and stuff like that, they say clearly shows that approved masks Ah, now see, now we're getting into definitive differences, whereas what we're actually talking about is all the people wearing cloth masks and all the things that CDC says can't use anymore, but they still are. But they're saying clearly shows that one, approved masks, whatever that ultimately means to the editor, with correct certification, which is happening nowhere. I mean, literally nowhere outside of hospitals. Let's understand that. And worn in compliance with guidelines, which is anybody enforcing that? Where is there a mask police walking around saying, whoa, you touched it, wash your hands. Oh, pull that up higher. Make sure that's sealed right. No one's doing that. So he's saying that clearly with all these factors and caveats are effective at preventing COVID-19 transmission, despite the fact that literally every randomized controlled trial on this topic has found that they are not statistically significant in reducing transmission from all the right sources. I've shown you 1,000 times over, and every daily wrap-up that I put out, every single one of them has all of these mask studies listed beneath them. Oops, don't get that one. Dang it. Hit the wrong button. Go to this real quick. So every single one of them, in case you haven't seen it, I always include it. I haven't included the links yet for this show. I do it after I'm done. But beneath that, all the important mask coverage from TLAB, the most recent ones, including the one they just said was retracted. Now we have the 5 ones that I've reported from before COVID-19, from 2004 to 2020, all of which show you verifiable health effects from wearing a face mask. Verifiable, scientifically verified reduction in blood oxygen level. The cloth mask study that clearly shows you that infections are increased with cloth mask wearing, and a whole bunch of others that show you the bottom line, they're not statistically significant in reducing transmission. You can look at every one of these for yourself and come to the conclusion it's obvious that they're either this incompetent, they don't know these are there, which is ridiculous to think, or they're choosing to ignore them, which is not trusting the science, is it? Because these are the science. These are the random controlled trials. These are the peer-reviewed science, not some model in a study where they estimate based on their modeling. That's what they're doing right now. This is how incredibly obvious this is. But here they are telling you, but it reduces transmission based on the fact that if it's clearly the approved ones, correctly certified and worn in compliance, then yes, so clearly it works. So what about the guy wearing a cloth mask? What about the guy that just bought that from the gas station and has it hanging off one ear? What about that guy, right? The point is that all of this stuff is shown to not have the effect that they're screaming it does. And then the science shows you that it actually increases your risk of infection. But the editor disagrees, so he changed it. Sounds like the OPCW, doesn't it? And a subsequent internal investigation by the editor-in-chief and the publisher have determined that the article was extremely externally peer-reviewed, but not with our customary standards. Ah, so yes, it was peer-reviewed. We just don't like the fact that it came to the conclusions we don't like. So we conducted a subsequent investigation of our own, the editor and the publisher, who don't have agendas at all, right? Not the scientist, but the editor and the publisher. So the scientists did their work. They peer-reviewed the work with other scientists, and it was approved. But then the editor and the publisher said, nah, we don't like that. So we did our own investigation and said, well, you did the right steps, but just not the way we like them. And we'll leave it at that and not give you any more information. Anybody convinced? It's just pathetic, guys. And this is the same thing that happened with the Danish one and that very early one that came out about the death rate. All this stuff is shown to be correct. We can look back and see now that they were correct, but they retracted it because they were forced to by a broken medical industry. Here's an interesting point. This says, I do welcome the CDC's update. This is on April 28th when they came out with their new update on the outdoors thing and masks. But it says, I do welcome the CDC's update on outdoors and masks, but it was still overly confusing. Too binary and timid. Our mitigation should move from precautionary to targeted as we learn more and crucially, and we need properly examine the whys and wherefores. Damn it, we're already at 3 hours. I knew it. But here's what they say. She highlights this in the article. It says the CDC should, at the very least, explain the scientific reasoning behind these rules. Not only would this empower people, it would inform inevitable debate about our guidelines. Ah, so you see, the point is this whole time, we don't care about the scientific valid, which is the CDC said, right? Trust the CDC, trust the scientists, trust the science, right? So we're supposed to trust the science when it works with the way we like it. But the moment that it appears that CDC is walking back something about masks, well, now they go, well, they should explain why that doesn't work anymore. You see, it's not about trusting the science or the scientists, it's about trusting the narrative and the dogma. And when even the CDC veers away, they came right back and said, no, we weren't doing that. But even when it was appearing as if they were going away from the narrative, they all said, well, there's no science. They aren't explaining it. Yeah, guys, get with the program. They haven't been the whole time. That's the funniest part about it, is they only care about explaining the scientific reasoning when it goes against what they think is the reality. This is what mainstream journalism is. The Atlantic, New York Times, that's what she is. And this is just ridiculous. We've constantly seen this. Finally, this quote does not apply to mask mandates or social distancing policies issued by businesses. So as I keep telling you, yeah, DeSantis is clearly framing himself as the COVID hero, right? He's saving us all and he's going to be the next president. That's what this is leading to, except the fact that he's gaming you all when we're going to remove this one thing, but we're going to allow businesses to keep their own policies with masks or whatever else, which is how this was going to transition. I told you this before it happened. So I'm not saying I know for sure what he's trying to do, but I can tell you right now that anybody that's allowing this to go forward, if he believes these things are wrong, why would you allow businesses to make these things happen anyway? They're not allowed to do this. A business can't tell you to wear a mask, but DeSantis just made sure that was okay. Or at the very least, allowed it without, you know, says it does not apply to these businesses doing that. Which it's just, that's pretty damn clear to me. They will go along with this narrative as long as it works with the dogma. Trusting the science does not mean trust the science. It means trust the narrative. And they've shown you that this entire process. What they've been continuing to push on you, as Denny Rancourt points out and the rest of them, is very, very infrequently based on any science at all. It's dogma. And it's just time to recognize that the only way we're going to get past this is if we acknowledge it for what it is and continue to batter them with the science and don't fight back with more narrative. But I do think we're winning, guys. I think we are getting past this, and that's what's scaring them the most. So keep fighting with me. Keep helping me push this information. Sorry this was so late today. Late start. But I will see you going forward, and we have a lot more coming out. I had two great interviews today, one with Allison Morrow about Super U, another one with James Airy on his podcast. Check them out. Great discussions. There's a lot going on out there and a lot of good people fighting for this stuff that you may not know about. So get out there and find some more voices and continue to gather the information and think for yourselves, guys. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.